Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, let me turn down my radio. Cool echo, though. Echo. 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 Oh, not bad. Oh, I'm sorry that I came on right after your depressed woman was on, your caller. Why was she crying?
She hasn't been able to find someone who's willing to admit that they agree with her, that this war is a ghastly disaster and a put-up job. At the moment, Earth feels very alone and isolated, and she's trying to overcome her alienation. So,
I initially thought that I thought maybe she was depressed because she couldn't guess the secret sound on the Don and Mike show, when in fact it was probably her douchebag hitting the floor.
No, actually, what she heard was you, douchebag. What a brilliant guy.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
The Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Word you don't know could fill a book.
The Don and Mike Show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh,
here we are.
No. Outside having their Columbus Day parade.
Yeah, those aren't the right uniforms.
I didn't think they had anything to do with Columbus, Rob.
From a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart in the expression of eyes.
Well, listen to you, they discovered something else. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Adams, and all the ships at sea.
I don't know.
Both survivors of vicious attacks by Don Zimmer. Don Geronimo. My God, he's down. Mike O'Mara!
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. We're here on Columbus Day. It used to be a holiday.
Yeah.
Traded it for Martin Luther King Day. Mom D. It's the 13th of Rocktober.
Right.
Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. You'll find we're one of those shows, we don't give out the number a lot.
Right.
But that's it.
Right.
If you absolutely must call.
You might want to jot it down because you're not going to hear it a lot.
Just think of it as an emergency number.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, call 800-636-1067 and DC 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Well, hello there.
Is anyone missing?
Hey, what happened?
Shut up.
Did you wash your ass today?
Yeah.
Someone call for a doctor?
Monday, Monday.
Well, here we go.
Yes.
First item of the day.
Yeah.
Here we go. Microphone number four.
What about it?
Again, if you had microphone number four in your office pool,
you're the winner.
Congratulations, you're the winner. And if you think it's anything except fixed, or not fixed, but held in place with scotch tape again.
Our top story tonight, microphone four,
it's
is
four.
Still dead.
It's four, so if you got four.
That's right.
Come on down and pick up your prize.
Wow. Wonderful.
Congratulations if you had microphone number four in the What's Wrong
number
Today.
Number four.
Number four in the number the thing in the pool today. What does Charles Broyhill do? He is our producer. And really, on the face of it, he doesn't do
A lot.
Well, he should be paying me some money today.
Save that for tomorrow.
Well, I just want my money today, though,
of course. Save that for tomorrow.
My fantasy football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I think, right?
Yeah.
You told
me yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you won the money.
Yeah.
And no wonder. You played a team that didn't show up.
Yeah.
But either way, you would have killed me.
Yeah, I would have won anyway, but I mean, it doesn't happen to me very often.
You're a juggernaut now.
You think so?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I found new friends
in
my new league.
But I hear
and what and what a dick I am. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, you know what I was doing?
What were you doing?
I was having my online draft.
Oh really?
Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and while this is occurring, the little chat box pops up with the other tools that are in this league as
are these just random guys you'll never meet?
Right. So they're typing stuff like, who takes Mike Allstott? Ha ha. And another guy types in LOL, laugh out loud.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm looking at this, and I don't want to participate in it, but I'm sitting at the computer for over an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Finally got angry.
And then at one point I just typed in, guys, enough. And then a bunch of exclamation points. And then I got back like, what is your problem? What is your problem?
Right.
We're all here having fun. And I wrote back, I'm here having fun too. And the problem is that because someone wasn't there for the live part of the draft, the computer took over.
Okay.
And then because the computer had Mike Allstott rated very high, because the computer doesn't know he's injured, so there you go. The computer made the pick for the guy, and they're all laughing about it.
Right.
When there's a logical explanation.
So the computer made the pick for the guy?
Yeah.
He put it on autopilot?
Yes, and what you do is you make, if you do it on this NFL.com thing, you rank the players yourself. You make a list of the players you want in case you're not there.
Right.
Then the computer goes off your list.
Okay.
So obviously, whoever this person is had Mike Allstott way up on the list, didn't realize.
And the computer screwed him.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And then he got picked on by your fellow players.
And then it was just nerd city. It was
nothing, nerd Knicks just teed off on the guy?
Nothing but nerds, and I'm right there with them. I mean, I'm watching it. Then I have to be the ass that comes on and says,
how do you like your team in the new league?
We'll discuss it tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow, because that's traditionally the fantasy football.
You drafted, I just want to ask one question. So you drafted Saturday night,
and
you had a game on Sunday?
Yep.
Okay. And I'll wait to hear it.
What Charlie Broyhill does, besides cheating at fantasy football, here's what he does. Here's what a producer, I think you think what a producer does on a show is that he would meet with Mike and I every day and go, hey guys, here are some great ideas. Why don't you guys talk about this or this, and then we'll do this and this and this. Well, that's not really what Charlie does. Charlie will come to me once in a while like he has and say, hey, Donna Summer is out. Okay. I mean, I don't mean she's out.
She's doing a tour.
Right. So,
book tour.
Says, do you want to phone her with Donna Summer? Yes, beautiful. Mm-hmm. But really what Charlie does is the stuff that you will never hear on the radio. And I'm going to give you a perfect example today. And Mike, this goes for you as well.
All right.
I arrive to the bunker, the complex, empty, because everybody else in this building, the title company, they have Columbus Day off.
Right.
So I guess they get Columbus Day and Martin Luther King Day.
Uh-huh.
I'm not complaining. They get one of them off.
Right, exactly. Right.
So come in, go upstairs. It's kind of a ghost town. Walk around. I walk past Charlie's office. And standing in front of him is a salesperson.
Okay.
I like calling them sales gals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a sales gal. And she has her back to me as I'm looking into the room, looking at Charlie sitting behind his desk. And I know that she's complaining about, I can't tell you what it is, but I know what she's complaining about.
Okay. Complaining about us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Something to do with commercials.
Right.
So she's complaining, and this is, now I'm going to give him his props here.
Uh-huh.
He never makes direct eye contact with me so as to let her know that I'm standing behind.
He's good at that. He's real good at that.
So I stand there for a second, and I'm watching her go on and on and on, and he's making eye contact with her and making eye contact with me.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, either he's going to say, oh, look who's here. We can settle this right now. Or he's, like, saving me from this.
Right.
So I just went like that and waved and walked away.
And he saved you from it.
That's his job. Protecting. Protector.
Yeah, he's a total protector. Well done.
That's exactly what he does.
Is it the same?
Yes.
A professional buffer. Right.
Same one.
I just had to give Don a little nonverbal there.
Absolute same one.
God.
So anyway,
I think you do a great job.
A tip of the cap to Charles Broyles.
Thank you, Buzz. You got that, too?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Not a lot to think about.
No, not really. But they're a super client.
They are.
And, you know, their money is green or peach, whatever color the money is now.
Right.
Yes, everyone in the room is now guest the client. Hi, baby.
Hey, sleepy.
Here she is, everybody. Now, you know, it was just last week that I had mentioned how great the solitude was. And the problem with the solitude, you know, when my wife was at her mom's for a couple of days, is after a couple of days, it wears off.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize you're just sitting there. So I was very happy to have my wife come home. And we.
You didn't tell me that you missed me.
I believe I did.
Well, not in the mean it way. I mean, you tell me like you love me and you miss me all lumped up in the how you doing kind of way.
The fact that you said it now is good, too, right?
Yeah, but I thought I had articulated that over the weekend.
You say it like, I appreciate the fact how much you say I love you. But you don't give me a heartfelt, so I don't know that it's not just the... You know, the other day when I asked you, who are you talking on the phone with? And I realized you said I love you at the end, so it probably wasn't Rob. It could have been, but it wasn't Rob. It was probably Bart. But it's so in your conversation that I don't notice that it's very meaningful. But now to hear you say you missed me and point it out, that's meaningful. Thank you.
Okay.
That was a lot.
I know that was a lot to digest. That was a lot for me to digest, and I'm the guy who's getting the direct fire.
I completely understand what you're saying.
Followed.
We got it.
I'm sure they did.
I think I followed that.
You know, I don't want to overreact. I don't want to be defensive. I don't want to say, what you're saying in essence. Okay, Buzz, give me the shut up sign. Gotcha.
Yeah. Buzz is a wise older man, isn't he?
Right.
He knows to quit when he's ahead.
No, you should know something,
Don.
You should know something, though. Buzz is really on my side in this. He just defers because he knows I'm not going to win.
Right. I know. He is on your side, and it was unfair of me to make a little dig at it.
Charlie, I'm protecting you.
Yeah. And anyway, who's to say what's right and who's to say what's wrong?
If you can take a man seriously, he's wearing a shirt like that today.
Okay. All right, Buzz has on one of his tiniest
velvet shirts.
He's
wearing a velvet shirt.
I believe last worn by Roy Horn. Before he was nearly clawed to death.
A lot of his stuff is available now. I mean, I really think you'd see material like that on the one of Columbus's ships.
I'm envisioning the ladies' man.
Ladies man be perfect.
Yeah. In the butt. Yeah. So, yesterday, here's why I have my wife on the phone, and then I'll let her go to whatever it is she's doing in her busy life. We're at the Redskins-Buccaneers game, and sitting with us is our friend, Rob Spiewak. Now, before the game, Rob is down on the field where he does the announcing, where he says, you know, hey, Redskins fans, you know, kick a field goal and win a free soda.
Right.
And he's on the Jumbotron, and he's, you know, the place is about half full. And I just wanted someone with a total objective opinion who you know will tell you the truth. You know, she pisses me off, Rob, so if she pisses you off, it's okay. But I do believe she speaks the truth, in her double speak. I'll just ask you flat out, darling, is Rob going bald?
I think the stadium concurs. Yes, Rob is going bald.
I don't know. I think, hi, Rob. What? I think we can hide Mike. You know what? You've just turned Mike's Monday into, oh, I see. That's not it.
Mike's holding up an ad now that says, are you losing your hair?
Do you want to read it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I know. Oh, there's good news. Clinically proven hair restoration system is so effective.
Look how red Rob is.
Great. I've been using Prolific for 7 weeks.
Hey, baby.
You know, I have talked to people who have really had success. I mean, friends of that were Bart's age that were losing their hair. If you use some of these things they have very early, you're still young, you could really reverse.
Darling,
what you refuse to acknowledge.
Would you? I just want you to acknowledge. But yes, you see, the right word was acknowledge. Uh-huh. Acknowledge the fact you're unbiased in this. You like Rob fine. You have no qualms against him. He's a good person. You're the grandmother of his child. However,
grandmother of his child.
I mean, godmother.
What have we not known?
Godmother. However, is he losing his hair? Is he going bald?
Yes, he's got. And you should address it because it's not too late. I mean, there really are things that work that aren't spray on.
I disagree.
All right, thank you, baby.
All right.
I don't see Rob going out and buying any of those things.
Those things work. Matthew McConaughey was losing his hair, but he used it.
Okay, let me just go crazy for a second and say that you guys are right.
Everybody.
If everybody in the world is right and my hair is thinning, I'm going to get myself a big 1970s Roy Clark hat. And that way no one will know that I may or may not be going bald.
Hey, babe, have you ever brought this up with Rob's wife?
Yes, she gets quite a chuckle out of it.
Yeah, I bet she does.
No. Oh, wow.
Does
she think that Rob's going bald?
She knows it. I mean, there's no question in anybody's mind except
the
Rob.
Thing is, when Rob is on the field at the football game doing this, and you're sitting up, you know, 15, 20, 30 rows up, I mean, he's the only one out on the field with the schmuck kicking the field goal to win the T-shirt.
And with that particular location on the field, when he's doing those announcements, it's just highlighted because the camera that they put on him shines directly down on his head.
Oh, even if you look at it with the naked eye.
I'm looking, and my vision's not even that great. I mean, I have to squint to see the scoreboard. But I can see Rob's bald spot. I mean, it's just there.
Well, that's good news. There you know, maybe it's an optical illusion. But at least a lot of things going on in the stadium, you know.
You cut your hair properly for a guy that's got some hair loss.
I promise you this. If something, God forbid, happens and I start to lose my hair, God forbid, I will never do a comb over. I will never try to trick anyone with, like, a George Clooney thing.
You're not tricking them now.
Don't worry about it.
Maybe he can get his barber on the phone. Do you have a regular barber?
Babe. I do. Malcolm, Dean Justice of the Fairfax Barbershop.
Has he ever brought it up?
Call.
Has he ever brought it up to you?
He doesn't speak.
He's a mute.
would you ever put any stuff up there, like Rogaine or something like that?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
If you wait too long, it'll be too late.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Then I'll start looking like Dick Van Patten. That's when the fun begins.
All right, I love you, baby. I'll see you.
I want to tell Rob one other thing.
What's that?
At the game yesterday, I liked you being near us with your clipboard because you gave us importance in our area.
Oh, listen to this now.
There you go.
Sitting next to Rob at anything is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm sitting next to I'm sitting in between Rob and my wife.
Okay.
My wife is, as I've already told you many times, is at best a neutral observer.
Right.
Rob, on the other hand, while he likes football, is also Rob.
I couldn't pick any human being I would rather sit next to at a big event that I really wasn't totally interested in.
Well, the thing is, I was interested in the game.
I know.
Because it was a huge game, but it was still Rob being Rob and saying things and, you know, skirting up, walking right up to the edge of our dangerous level of personal conversation.
I should really point out that Rob is the perfect guy to sit next to if you're at the event and you're just looking to have a good time.
Right.
I mean, if you want to be totally captivated by the event, you're in trouble. But any other one, it's perfect.
Well, in this battle, I can't tell you a thing that happened in the first half of the football game. But I can tell you that Rob and I had some good fun
very good.
Looking at our fellow stadium patrons.
Yes, making fun of others.
I'd like to say hello to Knothead.
Knothead.
Oh, there was a guy
in our section who seriously had to have been in a bar fight the night before.
Wow.
And had a gigantic raised purple knot right on his left forehead.
Literally the size of half a golf ball.
Do you think it was like an injury or perhaps a goiter?
He was a Buccaneers fan.
Ah, really?
I think there had been a fight. And
he looked like the kind of guy that might have had a go?
Yeah. Maybe even that morning.
So there was a lot of times that I would get the inadvertent look.
Wasn't Don Zimmer, was it?
No, it wasn't Mr. Zimmer.
from the person, I get the inadvertent look from the person because I realized that the level of what Rob and I were saying, even in a loud stadium, it's loud what we're saying. So we had to curb that. But
and also the stadium was going right between very loud and very quiet yesterday, depending on what was going on the field.
Right.
And there'd be a time when I'd be saying something, all of a sudden I'd be speaking at a loud stadium level, and the stadium would fall quiet, and all of a sudden you feel quite sheepish and bald.
We thought it was important because Rob could read along with the announcements as they were made.
Here's what he didn't read along as they were made. He actually skipped ahead because Rob's on the field to do this field goal thing.
Right.
He has the whole script for during the game.
Right.
I even knew the final score yesterday before.
it's all prearranged.
So it's this thing, and anyone who's gone to any game knows this. During a TV commercial, what they do is they announce, they get like a pizza place, and they announce the fan of the game.
Right.
And it's really BFD, but people in the stadium go crazy because they announce the section, and really I think it's one person out of 80,000 that gets one of those tiny jobber pizzas,
right.
one of those little airport pizzas.
Right, but it's free.
But they get all this advertising, and they run up, and they make a big deal about it. Well, as they're making the announcement, because Rob has the copy, Rob says, "Now the Redskins salute our fan of the game with a hot Papa John's pizza." As soon as Rob gets done saying that, the announcer says, "Now the Redskins salute the fan of the game with a Papa John's fan of the game."
Oh, my God. How funny was that?
So all of the dial, all of...
Yeah, of course. Somebody gets paid for that.
Right.
So the whole idea. The NFL owners are the smartest guys in the world.
That's right. She said, "So they're flag boys." I said, "Yeah, but this is nothing new. They come out at the beginning of the game with the fireworks and everything, and then when they score a touchdown or a field goal."
Flag boy.
Flag boy. And then she wanted binoculars.
Right.
Now we didn't have binoculars. She wanted binoculars. She wanted the age of the flag boy.
Did she ever determine the age of the flag boy?
No, we weren't able to tell. They look like...
Probably grown men.
Like middle-aged guys.
Middle-aged. Probably.
You know, 73. That's the prompt from Rob, 73.
73 flag boy.
And one other thing at this game yesterday. I have said this before, and I maintain it, that if there was ever a who-do-you-look-like contest, that Robert Mailman and Warren Sapp...
Oh, yeah.
If you shaved Robert Mailman's head, and I'm not doing that thing that they all look the same, really, dead ringers for each other, and I'm saying that this...
Very similar-looking guy,
I'm saying this to Rob during the game. I say, "Oh, hey, look who's playing tight end. Hey, look, it's Robert Mailman." And when they put Warren Sapp's picture on the screen, you know, like the trading card thing with him smiling, it looks like it. So I start saying, "Rob, there's Robert Mailman. He's in motion.
Very good.
Robert Mailman to the right side." So anyway, we were laughing about that. And then I come in today and I read in the newspaper, listen to this real quote from Warren Sapp, and tell me if this doesn't sound like Robert Mailman, who's always convinced that the white man is against him.
Okay.
That's his whole rap.
Right.
Before Sunday's Washington-Tampa Bay game, the NFL warned the Buccaneers, Warren Sapp, that he could get a penalty if he walked through the pregame exercises, and LeVar Arrington said that he would grab Warren Sapp if Warren Sapp danced through while they're doing their jumping jacks. On CBS, Warren Sapp said, "Arrington snitched, and slave master come down. Make no mistake about it, slave masters say you can't do it, don't do it."
Wow.
How funny.
Is that kind of a dig at LeVar Arrington?
How funny is that, though?
But it sounds like Robert.
Doesn't that?
Yeah, absolutely.
"Arrington snitch and slave master come down. Make no mistake about it. Slave master say you can't do it. Don't do it."
Wow.
God.
Oh, my God. So slave master would be a reference to the commissioner's office or something like that?
Yeah, right. I guess so. Right. Anyway, that's Robert Mailman. Oh, and happy anniversary to Rob and Carrie.
Yeah.
Rob had to leave the game at halftime because he said, after all, it is his anniversary.
That's very generous of you, Rob.
Nice. And,
so romantic.
Rob and I are actually...
He's an incurable romantic.
We were talking, and I actually wrote notes, and perhaps we'll discuss this in the next break. The theory we're having about anniversaries and if they should be called anniversaries or should they be called renewals.
Interesting.
Oh, let's keep it anniversary.
No, Buzz. Listen, this is we're just
renewal
talking.
Would be like a like you renew your driver's license.
Yeah, you know, every 4 to 7 years,
you reevaluate and you say, "What do you think? Are we up for another year?"
And you know, or you know, even closer, like a contract
renewal.
And,
it is.
And you know, and what if? Let's say you're locked.
Save me a few pennies.
Let's say you're locked in. You know that perhaps whoever you're with, you're locked into a 4-year window.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you're coming into the fourth year, well, maybe. You've been kind of a dick, so you got to work harder to make sure that she wants to renew you. But on the other hand, if you're coming into the last year and you go, "There's no way I'm renewing with her."
Right.
Well, then.
Kind of a lame duck marriage.
Live your life.
Sure.
Interesting.
La, la, la.
Silly me. I let my license expire.
Follow the
rules. Oh, God.
Follow the rules.
You crazy married guys.
But what if you were locked in?
Yeah.
That's a conversation that was brought on by Rob's 7th wedding anniversary.
Interesting. Yeah.
What if you were locked in?
Yeah, well, I said, you know, we didn't really discuss doing it, but just the topic of divorce came up at dinner. I said, "I don't think we should." And she said, "Yeah, I don't think so either." And so I said, "Are you up for 7 more?" And she said, "Yeah."
Mike, you can laugh.
Jesus. And then we discussed, you know what the official gift is for 7 years?
What's that?
It's a desk set.
Is it really?
It is.
That's the official gift?
So I have to head to Staples before I get home and and get her something. Something nice, maybe, with a thermometer. I don't know.
Have you renewed then?
Well,
How long of a renewal do you have
actually,
with
Kerry? Is that seven more now?
Yeah. The Kerry and Rob show will be back soon while they are in discussions about their contract.
Whoa!
Okay.
Wow.
He's funny.
Jesus.
Oh, good luck with
that. He's funny, but we had a lot of time to hatch that theory, and there are many wrinkles to it.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
My phone sucks.
Can you hear us now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
No, right. We didn't do anything, so it must be your phone. What can we do for you?
I just want to say, hey, I hope you had a great weekend. My wife and I were at the Skins game. We sat up in the 400 section. And, you know, we tried to see Rob when he was doing his announcements, but we couldn't get past this incredible glare coming from the vicinity of the back of his head. But, you know, I noticed one thing, Rob.
Yeah.
It seems that this week you had more hair than you had the last
week.
Would you care to...
Bald spot?
Paint your bald spot. My head grows, sir.
Hey, would you care to explain that?
Oh, my God.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are y'all doing today?
Howdy. We're doing great, thanks.
Good. Hey, I was wondering, did Troy Aikman make good on his promise and decide to meet you at the beginning of the game?
Yeah,
he did. There was a pass for me, but I didn't use it.
You didn't go.
You didn't go out and say hi to him?
No, because it's like... I don't know. I'd feel like a dick. I went up there like... Hi, Troy. I mean, because he didn't leave the pass. You know, the radio station got me a pass to go up to the broadcast level. So what I would have to do would be to walk up there and, you know, knock on the door with the door and go, hey, Troy, you don't know me, but I'm, you know, the dick that you were on the radio
and
with.
That's awfully forced. You know, if you saw him, like, standing around, that'd be a different story, but why do it?
I mean, he was a good guest and everything. And a
what do you say? I love you.
Yeah, great quarterback.
I love you.
I don't want to S his D or anything.
Mm-hmm.
No. Not like if it was Steve McNair.
Oh, baby.
All right, see you later.
Oh, you hung up already.
He's gone.
All right.
Oh, you bastard.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Speak to us.
If you'd like to make a call,
hey,
no, up and try again.
Hey. I will. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don?
Yes, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hey. How's it going? Hey, I got a question for you. Have the Redskins won since they messed up your car?
I don't believe so.
So, yeah, I told them.
So they, it's like the curse of the Donnie.
Right.
Which,
and Mike, we're winning tonight.
I have a good feeling about tonight. It's kind of like the curse of the Bambino, which now has been, of course, and I'm advocating this, been replaced by the curse of Zimmer. Total curse of Zimmer. Throwing him to the ground is a brand new curse.
Yeah. It takes a very, very brave man.
Yeah.
It takes a brave, young, in his prime athlete.
Yes.
A lot of guts.
Mm-hmm.
When a 70-year-old man is charging you to go, come on. Come on.
He didn't do that.
Yes, he did.
He did not.
Yes, you have to
now,
watch.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on
you
a second.
You have to watch the tape.
Well, watch the tape. My God. Nobody in this state, nobody
when,
anywhere has seen more of this tape than I have.
When Don Zimmer is in the dugout.
And he did what you were doing, and I'm just describing what you were doing with your hands. You were raising your hands up like, come on, like that.
And listen, somebody will call in and tell you, now, he didn't raise them as high as I did.
No, he said,
you know, Mike, the tape, I swear to Christ, I saw a tape of him going like this, looking at Zimmer and going, with both hands, come on.
Yeah, he went, come on, he went like that, and then when he didn't raise his hands until Zimmer kind of came at him, And, you know, you can speculate as to could he have, like, slid out of the way to avoid it. But when a guy is coming at your head, I think he was. It's not like he threw a punch.
Don Zimmer is very dangerous.
He almost cradled his head between his hands.
Listen,
and moved him to the side and knocked him down.
I'm telling you, I
have to defend Pedro on that.
I'm telling you, I saw the replay.
I really think it was Zimmer's fault. That's why Zimmer apologized.
When Zimmer's running at him, he's giving him the... Come on.
Well, you know, the thing is, Zimmer was coming at him, and he was obviously Zimmer. You didn't see what Zimmer was saying. He was coming at him, and when he first did it, the very first time, I'm like, oh, my God, Pedro hit a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
And then when you saw the replay,
now he's
the hero. You saw Zimmer, like, throw a punch, and Pedro, like, moved out of the way, grabbed his head, and pushed him to the side, knocking him down. Could that have been handled differently? Yes, but it looked... The way it looked at first...
Thanks for clearing that up for me.
I really, really thought that Pedro had taking a swing at him. When you saw the videotape, it was clear that Zimmer attacked Pedro.
Pedro is a hero.
He was cradling. Now you're twisting. And,
Mike,
and
I want to tell you right now, I'm going to nominate two. I know it's only our Monday episode.
Now, this is a strategy used by Mr. Geronimo. He will not respond to anything I'm saying.
No,
it might be, factual and accurate.
No, two things. First, really, seriously, serious as cancer. Watch the videotape.
I've watched it that day. I've watched it dozens of times. I watched it because
somebody call
you watch
and tell us definitively when Zimmer's.
He never put his hands up and went, "Come on." He never did that. He never did that.
Somebody call in.
He looked at me and he said something like, "Come on," because Zimmer was saying something to him, and then
with his hands did the. Come on.
You're putting your hands down lower now. That doesn't change it. He was sitting there with his hands at his side.
Come on.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike. Did you see it?
I saw it. Mike, you're out of your mind.
What are you talking about?
Zimmer came over, and Zimmer did have his hands raised, yes. But for him
what
to
mean,
grab
his
him...
hands raised, he lunged at him, and he threw a punch.
But for Pedro to grab him by the ears, well, yeah, that's a whole other story. But
well, what would you have, Pedro
and
do?
Throw him to the ground.
What would you have? He was cradling his head. Gently cradling. When somebody, I don't care if they're 102, throws a punch at you, you put your hands up to defend yourself, and what he did was he didn't hit him, he didn't make any attempt to hit him, grabbed his head and pushed him to the side.
He's a hero.
You know what? He grabbed him and he pulled him down to the ground. He should have pushed him away to the side, but he
you know
he
what?
Grabbed
you know,
him
you know,
and
all
threw
you
down,
effers
Mike.
That are going
to
argue this
break.
With me
we
today.
We have to take a break.
And, you know, because I mean...
Go Cubs,
you know,
baby. Go Cubs.
Here you go. There's the agenda right there.
Okay. Hold on a second. One of the lights is ringing, which means there's an inside-the-building call.
All right.
Hello?
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry, Don. I'm looking for call screening. I'm sorry.
Who is this?
Joan.
Who is this?
This
what?
Joan. I'm trying to reach
you're calling at the wrong time, Lotta.
Sorry.
Joan of Arcadia. You're calling at the bad time, Lotta. We're having a big argument.
Hey, J-Law.
Yes?
Let me ask you something.
Yes?
This is Joan, everybody. We call her J-Law.
Hi, Joan.
Oh, jeez.
Joan, yes? What's your take on Pedro Martinez versus Don Zimmer?
Well, I think that Martinez can take Zimmer, but it might be a fight. Didn't Zimmer manage the Red Sox years ago anyway?
Yes, he did. 1978, he lost a playoff game.
Let me explain to you. There was a fight, almost a fight, between a 70-year-old guy and like a 35-year-old guy.
No.
You know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you should read
New
paper,
England.
Right?
All right, so who's the hero? Don Zimmer?
Excuse me. Unfair question. Unfairly.
Mike, help me out here, okay?
Don't let him manipulate you, Joan. Don't let him do this.
No.
He's a skilled conjurer.
Yeah, all right. Goodbye, J-Law.
Bye.
Goodbye.
All right, we'll break.
Don't be disturbed by his prevarication.
Two heroes already I'm nominating on this Monday show as we go to break. Pedro Martinez.
Yes.
And Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
Two heroes.
Oh. They
both exhibit such,
you cad.
Such bravery. I just like busting the balls about it. But I did see the tape where he's doing, come on,
right.
Come on.
Well, we will disagree on the fact that he raised his hands up and was like, come at me. And, you know, the fact is, if a guy's going to do that, he's going to take a swing. It was obvious what happened. And what happened was Zimmer charged Pedro, threw a punch at him, and Pedro pushed him to the side, and he fell to the ground. That's what happened.
God bless Pedro.
I don't say God bless Pedro.
I do, Mike. That's me speaking.
I think if Pedro had to do it again, he would have ducked to the side and maybe avoided the charging bull of Don Zimmer. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Zimmer said that he would have done it differently if he had to do it again.
Right. Scary and imposing.
And, you know, the whole reason...
Don Zimmer, he's just...
Yeah,
the whole thought of him.
Well, I mean, no blows were thrown by Pedro. You see, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, and the guy was taking a swing at him
because he's a hero.
I mean, if a person comes at you and throws a punch, what would you have done?
If Bob Hope was coming at me,
right?
I would have done the same thing.
You would have cradled his head in your hands and give him a gentle kiss before throwing him to the ground.
The guy, I grab him by his ears and throw him down. We got a break.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you mean? I mean, you know the new deal. We got it.
You're just having fun, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
You're enjoying this because, you know, deep down inside, there's passion here.
I know there is.
You know, I was watching it with my Yankee friend, Randall, and, you know, that whole thing, even though the Red Sox lost, watching it with a big group of people, and that was, man, to just see like 20, 30 people all screaming, standing up 2 inches away from the TV.
Hero!
It was so much fun. And
wow.
We said,
Pedro!
We said, Don Zimmer, you are a hero.
We'll be right back. But Feist, yeah, even though we're doing the constant contest, we'll do a caller 100 now at 877-365-3636. Be a caller 100, good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well said. Plain and simple. Singular has what you want.
If you want the newest and coolest in wireless phone technology, Singular has the phone for you. It's the Sony Ericsson T226.
It has downloadable games and text and picture messaging.
Don't forget, my friend Teresa told me it's got a free camera attachment with a $50 mail-in rebate.
You are shameless.
Thank you.
How could I forget that? Here's the best part. The Sony Ericsson T226 is free after a $20 mail-in rebate.
And if you want a calling plan for the whole family, get connected with Family Talk. You can add a line to your calling plan for $9.99 per line per month. And plans start at just $39.99. You pay no roaming and no long distance.
Whoopee! This is Whoopee. Singular has what you want, so switch to Singular. Call Singular, 866-SINGULAR. Singular.com or visit any Singular wireless store in the area. They have dozens of them. Be sure and tell them Don and Mike sent you.
Certain restrictions apply to any Singular wireless
the
store.
Certain restrictions apply.
The Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. One day your woman left early. You had the whole yourself. She said, hey, let me get a little jerk before work. So you in the house getting your jerk on, nice good jerk too. You know that ain't nobody in the house jerk. That's a good jerk. It ain't like that somebody in the next room jerk. That's a bad jerk. That's like, eh, who there? I don't like that jerk. I'm talking about the good jerk. That nobody ain't home jerk. You get the Vaseline ready, and you just look at your dick and go scream if you want to. No one's gonna hear.
The Don and Mike Show.
They wear a lot of hats while they sit on the fence making a commitment. Don and Mike.
All right, let's get our call 100. We have Chris Rock tickets, WWE tickets. And here's our winner right here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yeah, and we got a Luke, I am your father thing.
Cool. Hello, Luke, I am your father.
This is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hello?
Hello.
There you go.
Total Recall.
What's your name?
Steve.
Steve, where are you from?
Springfield.
Steve, you won tickets to see Chris Rock's The Black Ambition Tour, Meyerhoff Symphony Hall in Baltimore, October 28. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster. First time Chris Rock's been out in 4 years. Enjoy, wow. My friend.
Thank you.
Hi, Lada.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Lada.
Thank you for listening. All the hits all the time.
Yes, hurry in the wind tunnel.
All right, there he goes. You know, see, notice, please, we're not even complaining about that.
No,
that,
right. Nope.
That's really a...
Why does that happen all the time, though? I'm not complaining, I'm asking. Because it doesn't seem to happen on other shows that I listen to around this great country.
I think... Because on other shows that you listen to,
yeah,
generally the DJ,
yes,
just talks and hangs up on the person.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. I hear it on radio stations, and it drives me nuts.
You hear that, that wind tunnel effect?
Yeah, I hear it, and it's something. I tell you what, it's something right down there where I just knocked my
right there,
right there.
Put some tape on it.
Right in the middle of that thing. So here's the deal with getting married. I'm married. Rob's married, Buzz is married, Mike has been married, will be married again.
No.
With a prenup.
Wrong.
It's Rob's anniversary.
Yeah. Right.
So we're discussing his anniversary. And actually, you know, I don't know, it could have been me, it could have been Rob that said, what about just a renewal? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how you have to renew your car and you have to renew your credit card. And
well, if we're talking about it again, the very concept of making it a renewal violates the spirit of the
I understand that
arrangement. I know I'm just nobody to say that.
Just imagine a time in the future, though,
yeah.
And you have to, like Star Trek time, where people are so evolved that incidentally,
I think it would be wonderful.
If she's the one, lock her in.
Sure.
I mean, lock her in, but then the deal is, if you're locked into that mortgage rate, if you're locked into that woman,
right,
That's it, baby.
Sure.
I mean, that's otherwise. Like,
so you're saying replace the vows with a contract.
With a contract.
Well, that's actually done in many marriages.
Now, what you do is, what you do is you have the contract.
I have to be very careful right now.
You have the contract. This is okay. Yes, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be with her forever. And I've already worked this part out. What happens, because, you know, free will, human beings. What happens if you get, you know, 6 months, a year, 10 years into it, and you go, oh, I can't stand this bitch, or I can't stand this bastard. Well, then you terminate. But if you terminate, you're castrated.
Oh.
And if you're a woman.
Now, wait a minute. No, I don't like that at all.
There has to be.
Then you'd probably have unions last forever.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, is your happiness worth your falls?
Listen, going into it, that's why it would make you say right up front, mm-hmm. do I really want to be with her forever, or would I rather have a 4-year trial plan? Or after 4 years, if it doesn't work out, we'll part. But for 4 years, I'm yours. And you're mine.
Well, this whole castration.
Or for 7 years.
I know voluntary sterilization is something you always advocated, and I think that
I'm just kidding.
You know the whole castration thing just puts it in a different light.
Yeah.
I mean, you make it. You know, you make actually commitment seem more appealing.
That it's a commitment.
I mean, you got to really.
Otherwise,
here I was thinking renewal would mean it's all the more flexible. But now you say that with the castration thing, it's even. It's even more.
Then you'd have a lot of people opting for what I'm calling now, based on my conversations with at least one half of this party. I'm calling this the SPIWAC option,
mm-hmm.
where you would have the... You're welcome. You'd have the 7-year option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and perhaps you go in when you're writing up the...
So your option years, much like with professional athletes, would be... The years where if there was the detection of one spouse not being totally into it, but the other one wanted to keep the marriage together, in that particular option year, the non-favored spouse would just go over the top trying to make the other person happy.
Right, like a kid who hasn't studied for an exam, and then all of a sudden the night before the exam, he crams all night.
Campaigning for re-election.
Well, you cram. Yeah. And you know, there's a small percentage of me that thinks that this would work in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that we as a society are not evolved enough now to do this. I'm thinking around the time of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Not the original Star Trek and not Deep Space Nine, but I'm thinking right around Star Trek The Next Generation.
I find that the older I get, the less I know about relationships. I don't know how you feel. You're in a different place than I am.
And this is why I'm thinking of you.
Yes.
You meet a nice girl.
Uh-huh.
You say, I think you might be the one. I'd like to offer you a 2-year marriage proposal with an option for 7 more. And if you decide to accept, and then we get to
how about a Chuck Woolery?
What about Chuck?
How about a 2-2?
Okay, a 2-year commitment with a 2-year option?
Yeah.
Listen, it's a buyer's market. If that's what you're offering,
mm-hmm.
that's what you offer her.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes it. And then you are in the driver's seat in this relationship because there's really nothing in it for her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you're the one that set it up with these terms, of course I guess she could let you go as well after 2 years.
Yeah.
And she has the choice of re-upping you as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be hard to find a woman that would accept those terms.
What about just a test drive? Called dating.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Buzz. Dating is a game that grown-ups play.
Planning on doing that for a while.
There you go. Anyway, that's what we were talking about.
Test drive.
About mm-hmm. During Rob's... Because it was Rob's anniversary.
Right.
Well, and happy anniversary,
yeah,
Rob.
Congratulations.
I'm glad that... this discussion sprang out of your wonderful 7-year anniversary.
You're not nearly as glad as Carrie is.
don't read anything into it. I'm just goofing around.
Read all you want.
Thinking out loud.
Oh, wow. And I go. And
did you get an anniversary present, Rob?
I did not.
Well, will you be getting one? What?
We don't swap gifts on our anniversary.
Oh, okay.
He got a microphone.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what she would say, Buzz.
We had to stir that water up again, Buzz.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
That's what she would say.
Hey, thank you, Buzz.
You're welcome. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, Don and Mike. Hi.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I have the scenario. If you took Rob's head and put it on Buzz's body and then put a Yankee uniform on Buzz and Buzz edged on Mike to come over,
Would he throw him on the ground?
Well, that's a long way to go.
Boy,
to think of all that.
That's a long way. You know, I try to always avoid throwing my coworkers to the ground.
Thank you.
I know that if you put my head on Buzz's body, he'd fall.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, where are your mothers, Don and Mike?
Right on. Hello there.
Hey, what's up? I was wondering, can we do like this contract like the NFL? Can we like franchise our wives or something?
No. You know, no Mormon stuff. You just got to keep it just plain and simple.
No trade.
No. I mean, if I really like my wife and she wants to move on to some greener pastures, can I franchise her? And then if somebody
I'm sorry. Listen, I'll see you in the 23rd century.
So you're saying this is evolution, that this is evolving, the institution of marriage.
Yes. I don't see why not.
I was in until the castration came up, but now I'm out.
Buzz, but that's...
I would ask you
but
guys...
But that's only if, right from the get-go, you made the commitment. You said, okay.
You signed a lifetime deal and then broke it, then you'd be castrated.
I would ask you all a question, but I don't know whether any of you would have the cojones, let us say, to answer it honestly.
Ask it. What is
that would be about the institution in general. I mean, I have been observing since my most recent failed marriage.
Yeah.
I've observed more closely couples when discussions about marriage come up. I listen intensely. I listen very acutely. I want to...
Yeah.
And what I've concluded is that there are some that are extremely happy, but there are many, many more that are not. And even if they are committed, that it's not always that happy. And
friends.
So that leads me to the question of the institution itself.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, the SPIWAC 7 is right up your alley. For a very, very small price, just some legal fees, of course, a small commission for me.
Sure.
For 7 years, you're locked in. You're locked into this deal for 7 years. And think about it.
And think of it as maybe almost like an extended service contract on a VCR. You hope you never have to use it.
You guys.
Just in case.
It's like, how many times you've been to Best Buy? When you check it out and they say, do you want the service plan on this? And you always go, nah, screw it. Well, what happens the time you get home and you plug in your wife and she doesn't work?
SOL.
See, all of this discussion leads me once again back to the original question that I had, which is the premise of... mating like swans, mating like geese.
That's Buzz Marcia.
Is that the normal human condition?
It's normal for my theory. It's normal for women. It's not normal for men.
Mm-hmm.
That's my answer.
You know what? A very, very ballsy answer, Buzz.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, Don.
Yeah, Don and Mike. Hi.
Yeah. Hey, for people getting married for the first time, there has to be a rookie clause though, because you have to be married for at least 5 years before you can be considered for free agency.
long time. You have to earn your tenure.
Again, with your own, in your own different leagues, however you do it. Hello, Don and Mike. In your fantasy wedding league. Hello. Bobby?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Don.
Hey, way to be asleep at the wheel, Bobby.
Bobby in Salt Lake City. Bobby.
Yeah. Hey, Mormons are not polygamists. It's the freaking freaks that don't go to church that aren't Mormons that do that.
Okay, there I was once again generalizing, but it's what I do best.
So a little comedy radio show, Bobby.
Hey, last word.
What did he say, last word?
I believe so.
It's always the idiots that don't know they're on.
you got it, ass. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike, how you doing, Radio Gods?
And boy, did my wife get mad at me yesterday driving to the game.
Yeah.
Because you got to weave in and out of traffic as you're getting closer to the stadium.
Right.
And I've just condensed it all down now. All of the names that I call people when they do stuff, it's everybody just ass. We're driving and go, that's fine, ass. Pull right in.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of room, ass.
Yeah, perfect.
That's right. Moving on, ass.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, ass, why go right here? Just because it says right turn on red aloud, why not just sit, ass?
Yes, because you're an ass.
Mm-hmm. Hey, ass.
Simple.
Look, there's a tree. Why don't we stop the car on a 45-mile-an-hour road and look at the tree, ass? And all of us just says, are you going to call everybody ass?
Feels good. Why not? Yeah.
I've got other stuff in my arsenal.
Right.
But ass just works.
That's perfect.
Come on, ass. You, ass. Hello.
Are you there, ass?
Brandon?
Couldn't take it. Having a little trouble communicating with people
today. Hello, Don and Mike. Here's a new caller. Hello.
Yeah, this is Mike.
Yes, hi there, Mike.
Hi. I just wanted to make sure that this is equal on both sides, so that if you castrate the male for being, you know, non-discretionary on their sexual stuff, that if the wife becomes...
Oh, I've already said you'd sterilize her. If you're in the committed relationship,
her tubes, but, I mean, you her tubes would be tied.
But you're castrating.
All right, then you won't castrate the men.
Thank you.
You just make it so that you know that they can't
propagate.
They can't send out the swimmers.
Okay. Yeah.
So tell me something. Are you married?
So it would be a vasectomy or a tube tying.
Are you married?
Tube tying. Yeah. Oh, I was. Fast.
You were. So if you were to get married again,
yeah,
would you get married forever, or would you rather have a woman who would sign an option to be married for 4, 8, in Mike's case, 2, whatever number works for you?
I would go for your method and say, hey, we're going to tie the knot in the legal fashion, okay? But after 4 years, if you want to drop out, go.
I mean, rent with the option to buy.
So you would really go for the 4-year plan?
Oh, there's going to be a contract. Oh, yeah.
It could be a contract.
Very good,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye.
You seem to have tapped into something.
Bye-bye. And I thought I was talking future.
No, I think people want to do it right now.
Yeah. Star Trek future. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oops.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
What's up? Hey, I want to thank y'all for the years of laughter, man. I got to move to the damn Red Stick in Louisiana, and they don't catch y'all over there. So I'm going to miss the show, Ms. Joe's Illiteracy, Buzz's Phone Holes, and Mike's Impersonations. Loved y'all while I listened to y'all.
Did you say you're moving to Red Stick?
Yeah, a city called the Red Stick.
That's a city named after Chris Farley.
Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah. See, because one time Chris Farley took a pool cue. He was walking around Saturday Night Live naked.
Mm-hmm.
Took a pool cue, shoved it way up his duke, and then when he took it out, he licked it.
Yeah.
To make Mike Myers laugh.
And then the town Red Stick was named.
Red Stick.
Yeah. That's about right. Bunch of idiots over there.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Oh, dear. Yeah, not like here.
But y'all have a good one, man. I love the show.
Thank you for the call.
Take care. Have fun in Red Stick.
Hey, how long till you leave?
He's going, gone already.
He's going to give him a prize. Oh. All right, screw him. Toodaloo ass. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You like pinball, Mary?
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan.
Up the magic dragon,
it's a great song.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
Who would have thought it wasn't really about a dragon, huh?
What do you mean?
You know, the whole drug thing.
No, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Some people think that to pop the magic dragon means they're really to smoke marijuana cigarette.
Well, Puff's just the name of the boy's magical dragon.
Right.
Are you a pothead, Falcon?
No. No. What? No, 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 no. Jack. No, I'm not. I pass on grass all the time. I mean, not all the time.
Yes or no, Greg?
No. Yes. No.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hello, it's me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
Right. They'll make you have the white pea. Don and Mike.
Yeah, you should live for the white tee. Uh-huh. Today's your last chance to call to win the Westwood One trip. Giving away exclusively to listers of this show to the premiere of Matrix Revolutions in Los Angeles.
A very big premiere indeed.
Uh-huh. We'll have the winner on Wednesday. This is the first contest Westwood One. Westwood One. Has ever given us, and you guys blew out the phone lines.
Yeah, you've shown them the power of this show, and maybe you know, you can't, nothing's guaranteed, but maybe they'll give us another great prize to get.
So it's 888-635-0643, number to win your trip to the premiere of Matrix Revolutions in Los Angeles, or go to WJFK.com, and we'll have the winner on a Wednesday show.
Very good.
And it is Columbus Day, and... wow, I'm really going to go back in the Wayback Machine here. So just give me 30 seconds on the clock, Rob, because this is so friggin' obscure. You're probably the only person that... Well, I already told you, you already laughed. Back in the day,
yes,
when I worked at the station WPGC here in Washington, I worked there like from 1979 or 78 to 1980, late 70s through the early 80s.
Okay.
Before me, when I was a kid, there was a disc jockey named Columbus. He did the midday show.
Wow.
That was his DJ name.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did when I worked at the station was I pulled out this tape that said, from 10 years ago,
"Hi, this is Columbus on WPGC.
Right.
And on Columbus Day, I would always play it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would say, and now here's Columbus.
Sure.
He'd go,
"Hi, this is Columbus on WPGC. And
nobody... You had to have listened to the station for the last 10 years to get the fact that he was an old disc jockey.
Right. Right.
That had worked there. And I wish I had the tape today. I'd play it today if I had it today.
Was it? Did it sound like an old DJ saying that?
Yeah. It was. It was quite.
Hi,
it was done.
This is Columbus.
No, it was done in the. It was done in the production room, and it was just one of those things that was sitting around, and I would just play the hell out of it, like for the week leading up to Columbus Day, because back then that was as close as you could get to doing something that was behind the scenes.
Did he ever call and ask for like a 20 spot or something like that?
No, he never did. He was a good guy, and it was just a stupid thing that I did on Columbus Day.
At
the same radio station, I found out on May Day, you can't say May Day.
Not supposed to.
Well, they really came. They came in and yelled that day.
Yeah, because it's the international distress code. Right.
Right. Saying, what if someone was flying their plane by?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my response to this was over 23 years ago. So going, I'm going to fly their plane by this radio station. Oh, they're going to turn on this station?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, and hear me say Mayday?
Or okay. Some ship that might be listening to you.
It is the name of a holiday.
Some Coast Guard cutter.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show. So happy Columbus Day. And as I found out later when I worked with a guy at another radio station, the same guy, Columbus.
Columbus, yeah.
Happy Bill Price Day.
Oh.
That's his name?
That's his name.
Bill Price was Columbus?
Bill Price.
Bill Price. Real name or DJ name?
Real name.
Wow.
Real name.
Bill Price is a nice DJ name.
Because now, see, this is where radio's nutty, where it's like just a good old boys club where you never really know. I had gotten this job 5 or 6 years later at WLS in Chicago. So I'm working there, and at one point, a production guy comes up and says, "Hey, you're Don, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Nice to meet you. I'm Bill Price." And it didn't even dawn on me. Until he was walking away, I said, "You sound a lot like..." And he said, "Oh, yeah. Hey, it's Columbus on WPGC."
So because he knew you had been playing it.
Yeah, he knew that I had been doing that.
Where was he working when you were playing
it? He was working at WLS.
Oh, okay.
So you met Columbus. So I met Columbus.
Huh.
And then I remember one day when
I bet there have been a few Christopher Columbuses on the air.
Chris Columbus, sure.
One day when I foolishly, back then, much as I'm doing today, but imagine this in the confines of a Top 40 format.
Right.
I tried to discuss this entire thing. I tried to.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure that didn't go over that
well. I know it's going over like a lead balloon right now. In this forum where we can say anything we want.
Right.
But I'm telling you that 20 years ago, I'm trying in like 2 minutes, which in Top 40 radio was an eternity.
Right.
I'm trying to explain. There was a guy I listened to on the radio, and his name was Columbus.
You pulled out his tape, his disc jockey identifier tape, on Columbus Day.
Yes, I did.
And you've never made that reference in all the years we've been working together. No, you never brought up that story.
I just thought of it, and I won't again. I promise. Hello, Paul?
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Paul.
I going back to what you were talking about last break with the contract.
Oh, married.
I thought we were done with that, but all right.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I've been trying to figure out how to make it practical. My girlfriend and I are getting married in March, and so far the only way I've been able to is, in our vows, till death or 5 years do us part.
Or 5 years do you part?
Mm-hmm. Right, and then, working in from there. So I think, everybody's told me I'm crazy, but I think you're on to something.
So are you really doing that? Really?
Well, no. I'm trying to.
I've got her going. You, yeah, we've been engaged.
It's
for
better
about.
Than saying till death in 5 years do we part.
Have you even broached the topic with her?
Oh, absolutely.
So she's mm-hmm. aware.
She's aware of it.
That you are a visionary, yep. And you, my friend, are living in Star Trek times.
Absolutely.
And you are proposing to her not an offer of marriage forever.
Because your whole theory of this is that this improves society as a whole, that this makes society more evolved, more sophisticated.
Yes, and eventually...
That this will not cause carnage, this will not wreak havoc in the streets.
No, and listen, I understand, and I'm not even going to address it. Children. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to address what to do about children. Because, no. Frankly, I've not figured that one out yet.
Well, that is difficult.
Right. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
That gets complicated the way things are now.
Yes, I know. But I'm working through one issue at a time.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
And here's the guy right here. Paul, hold on a second. Leave your number. Leave your number with Joe. If you're serious, if you can get your... Now, are you engaged with this girl?
Yes.
If you can get her on the air and you... We call her up right now, put her on the air, and she says that you've actually proposed this to her, that you've said you want to get married to her, but with a five-year option. If she says you've said that, we'll give you a ticket to see Aerosmith and Kiss in $100.
Sounds great.
Okay. Till death or 5 years do we part?
Death or 5 years do we part.
All right, hold
on. See, he's incorporating it into his vows.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Hold on. Just a second. Give your number to Joe, and Joe will run it in. Hold on. We're on the phone right now.
Cut that part out and write your own vows.
Hey, is this Bill Price?
Oh, no.
Hello?
No, it's not. No.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Paul. Thank you.
And this isn't this leading up to what you really want to do eventually? It kind of goes in that direction. It's a theory I've had that you don't talk about. Because I think you're keeping it a secret, but it's a theory I've held about you.
What?
You really are moving into that evangelical thing. I mean, you're starting to lay down laws for people as far as how matrimony works. And I think you want to, you know, not in a Jerry Falwell way, but I think you want to, in some way, you want to preach. You want to preach the word of God.
Indeed.
Mike, it's like this. To quote Rush Limbaugh,
mm-hmm.
I am right. And when you're right,
right,
you're right.
You have theories about everything.
I do.
Even the most deep, important subjects.
We're not going to have time today, but tomorrow we're going to get into... I'm not kidding. I have in my notes tongue scrapers.
Ah, yes.
Because we started talking about that off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I really have a point that I want to bring up from real life, and I'm not going to call anybody out.
I haven't gotten mine yet, incidentally. I want to get it. I might get it tonight.
But, your tongue scraper?
Yeah. I mean, any drugstore gets
them. Are we supposed to get them?
Well, Don and Rob are really into them, and I was talking about how I'm a compulsive flosser.
You don't have one, Buzz?
No, I brush. I brush my tongue.
Nope. Joe's got
it. So do I. I brush my tongue. Yeah.
Not good enough.
Huh.
Not good enough. Plus, remind me, besides the tongue depressor.
Can't wait.
Guys with fancy cars. How many is too many? At what point, are you just saying to everybody who sees you, F you? And I'm talking about there's one guy in particular that we all know.
Yes.
Who has...
How many does he have? Three?
I think five.
I think he really?
I think he's got the big muscle car.
Hmm. Yeah.
He's got the two little ones. He's got the fancy English one.
Doesn't he have a motorcycle, too?
I think, no, it's another guy, but he's got at least four or five of these cars. Hmm. You'd see, like, at car shows. Hmm. And it's okay for a guy, it's okay for anybody, a guy, even a girl, to go out and work. It's American Dream to get this stuff. Mm-hmm. But then... If you've got these cars that should be in museums or in Jay Leno's garage,
right, somewhere, right,
and you only take them out like Jay Leno and you drive them on an airport or something, mm-hmm. where you're rich enough to have closed down, it's okay. But aren't you inviting disaster by driving a classic car to work? And not only the fact that it's a classic car, but that you've got four or five of them that you rotate.
So this annoys you
just a little.
Mm-hmm.
As I turn the corner in this particular parking lot, when I walk by...
I noticed today there was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Driving away. I mean, it might not have been the same guy, but it was a classic car, and I was like, if that's number three.
Just in general. Mm-hmm. In general.
Mm-hmm.
If you work with a guy, and he's got nice cars,
mm-hmm.
you know, just keep it the one car. Don't rub it in the rest of our faces. And there's a guy out there, I'm going to call this guy out. He drove past me today. He had I would kill for this car, a fantastic car. Some type of those new jazzed up Porsches. This thing,
okay.
just beautiful. Like
had all the wings on it and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it's got the screen behind the driver's head mm-hmm. the thing there, and it's got and it's purple, and it's just going by. Well, we got caught up in some traffic, and I pulled up, and I saw that the tag, the vanity tag, spelled, didn't spell the whole word, but determined.
And then you
see the guy with the big wraparound. I pull up a little close. He's got the top down, of course. It's a beautiful day. Got the wraparound sunglasses, yapping on his cell phone. It's like, you know, this is the problem.
Yes, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. This is a guy thing, not a girl thing. Understand, when you're driving that car, all the other guys already see it and go, wow, that's an effing great car.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to. I'll never have that car, but I'd love to have that car. Sure. And then when you look at the tag and it says,
like, you don't need a vanity plate on a car like that.
Determined.
Mm-hmm. Determined what? Because you got this car because you're so specially determined.
Dick was already taken.
You know? Yeah. Really.
Yeah. So anyway,
that should be illegal.
Uh-huh. But then
should not be able to have a car over a certain price with a vanity tag on it.
And then I came in here and I saw that. That thing downstairs.
You can have a vanity tag, but the vanity tag has to be funny.
Right.
It has to be self-deprecating or funny in some way. It can't be a word describing how good you are.
No. Right,
and I feel the same way about any woman that has, like, cutie pie on her leg.
Hold on, Mike. We are getting this woman on the phone now. We've got to do this phone thing. Give me a second.
We're your business.
Hello? Ah, there, it's ringing.
You know.
I've got it ringing right now. And he's on the other
line. Or something like that.
His name is Paul. Her name is Mary. These FCC rules are killing us.
I know.
The fact that you just can't put a phone call on the air.
Yeah, well, I heard there's something about her, too.
Oh, leave her a message. All right, well. All right, well, listen.
Not there.
No, she's not there. Hey, Paul?
Hey.
Paul, okay, Mary's not there, but it just beeped on her machine.
Okay.
So it's recording it right now.
All right.
Why don't you just repeat to us what you said, and then I will give you the prize.
Hey, baby, I love you. Don and Mike, you're actually Don and Rob figured out yesterday an out to the marriage, or actually a clause for 2 years or 7 years. And I called in, let them know that, you know, when we get married in April, that I've been trying to get you to say, till death of 5 years do us part. And I thought it went right along with what they were saying, and hopefully they're going to give us something for this.
No, no, no. So here's the deal, Mary.
I'm sorry, but he just dropped the ball, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, damn it, I didn't even think about it.
You have backpedaled so totally.
Yeah, happy,
not at all.
Yes,
happy Bill Price Day.
Into Mr. Wimpo.
Happy Bill Price Day. And Mary, you should know something. You're not his long-term plan. And if he had balls, he would have really told you he wants the five-year option.
He wants that in the vows, but, you know, obviously he didn't want to say that.
Thanks.
Okay.
No, thank you. He says thanks to
us.
Bye. He says thanks.
See ya.
That's great. Thanks, guys.
Get out of here.
That'll make that, you know, very possibly could make for an interesting dinner discussion with them tonight.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I saw the ultimate dick driving his new vet today.
Yes.
Vanity plate said Don Juan.
Oh my God!
So, you can only. I pulled up beside him and gave him
the
finger.
Hold on. I've got to...
Are you, kidding me, Don Juan?
My first guess would be...
This guy was weaving in and out of traffic, you know. He thought he was the Dean's Peanuts.
Are you... did you really see it?
I did, I swear.
Were you earlier? Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City, brand new vet, Don Juan. This guy was the biggest dick.
What a dick. I mean, you're asking for it that way.
Thank you, my friend.
I mean, get the nice car is fine, but putting a vanity tag on it is just horrible.
But like you said, if you get one that's self-deprecating or one that is just an inside joke that you and maybe your wife or your friends will get, that's okay. But to have on it determination or determined.
Like if I saw a great car, like an incredible car with... Stupid.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd love that. I thought that would be very cool.
You know, I drove by the guy, and because I got an SUV, I'm riding up a little higher than he is. And I looked down in there, and he's, you know, busy chatting on his phone. And I wanted so much just to
pull your car into his.
Press my ass cheeks against the window and say, hey, look, this is determination right here. You know, I mean, really, what kind of a dick And I, God, I hope he's listening.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's listening. You ass. You supreme ass. Determined.
That is beyond a dicky move.
Yeah, yes, you, you must be determined.
And I know, you know, now that we're bringing the subject up, I really know there are many, many more out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't all have to be on fancy cars. I don't like anything that, that is just in any way self-congratulatory that you have on your license plate.
Too good
or any
for
way
you.
That it, you know, indicates what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my problem is the only the last vanity plate I had, and Don knows this one because we talked about it on the show.
Fly, baby.
Fly, baby. Mm-hmm. And I got it, like, on a lark because we did an impression of Bob Hope that said fly, baby. Mm-hmm. And it was the biggest mistake because police officers thought it. It was a commentary on how fast I wanted to drive the car.
No, unless it's,
that was my last van. And I thought it was funny and it was related to the show, but
sure.
It was stupid.
Unless it's one of those that's like Wheel of Fortune, where you're driving along and you can't figure it out, and then, you know, the person next to you says, oh, no, don't you get it? It says,
yeah,
kiss my ass.
Right,
you go,
right.
Oh, hey, kiss my ass. Then you drive by and you wave it there. You go,
or
hey.
Something that just means something to you that you're not making a statement about. Like Rob's used to be a BMSC, which was the Big Man Supper Club.
Right.
Which was, you know, and even that was a little, you know, self-deprecating.
Yeah.
So that was okay.
But Jesus Christ.
Determined. Yeah, I'm determined.
Mm.
Yeah, look at me with my fancy car. Determined.
We got a break here. You got to make it fast, Robbie.
Well, which was the program director that put a certain share on his license plate?
That was the little Stuart Little car.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Ten share.
Yeah, Jay Stevens.
That's another good play.
But even that one's not as bad as Determined, because that to some level, while I'm still going to ridicule Jay Stevens, here's the thing. He's the program director of a station that 13 years ago, something like that, had a ratings book where they got a 10 share. Once-in-a-lifetime accomplishment, it's great. But since then, his license tag on his car still says 10 share.
Right.
And even now, when I email this guy, his email name is Tenshare.
Hmm.
You know, at brokedickprogramdirector.com.
His should really now say RLSHRT.
Which is?
Real short.
Okay. Hey, see, now that's one.
Real short.
That's a perfect example, Mike, of one that I would look at and be so dumb I wouldn't get it right away.
Right.
And then if I looked in and saw a little miniature guy like Jay Stevens, I'd go, real short.
Yeah.
Hey, I got that.
Sure. DVHNDS.
And that would be?
Dove hands.
Ah! How about this one? C-U-N. One stop sign.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Suddenly, you get married and you're supposed to be this entirely different guy. I don't feel different. I mean, take yesterday, for example. We were out at the Olive Garden for dinner, which was lovely. And I had to look over at a certain point during the meal and see a waitress taking an order. And I found myself wondering what color her underpants might be. Her panties. Odds are they're probably basic white cotton underpants. But I started thinking, well, maybe they're silk panties. Maybe it's a thong. Maybe it's something really cool that I don't even know about, you know. And I started feeling. I guess what I'm trying to say is that now that I'm married, I'm definitely feeling a little freaked out about the fact that I'm going to have sex with only one person for the rest of my life.
The Don and Mike Show.
Huh? See?
Worked for him, right?
Can you believe we're back from commercials already? Here's Don and Mike.
Well, I'm playing this music because we might as well just cancel the show right now, the rest of the show.
Really?
Why? Donna Summer has had to reschedule.
What?
No!
That's like a movie, though.
And for those of you listening to us in Prince George's County, Maryland, Donna Summers will not be joining us today.
Hi, this is Donna Summer. You know, I never listen to that Don Geronimo, Geronimo, and Mike O'Meara. Oh, boy. I'm never going to that 7-Eleven again.
Well, there she is. Back when
years ago we had her on the show.
When she was famous, just the last gasp of being famous.
Mm-hmm. Now she's written a book?
Yes, she has, but she's too busy. She's doing something for the dreaded VH1 today. So,
Synergy.
If you had tuned in today just to hear Donna Summer.
I didn't even know she was coming on today.
I think I mentioned it.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it last week.
I thought I mentioned it today.
Did you? Top of the show. Yeah.
Something that Charlie does is to book these guests. Right. With heart and humor, Donna Summer relives the decadent days of disco.
Yay, the decadent days of disco.
Wow. All right, well, some other time.
So the dastardly diva has dissed us today.
Now the woman who is the fiance of the guy that just called us a second ago about the 5-year option.
Yes.
She's on the phone. Now, we have caller ID, so we know that she's calling from the number that we left the message on.
Very good.
Let's welcome now to the Don and Mike program, Mary. Mary.
Hi.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We had that guy, Paul.
Yeah.
You know Paul, that guy?
Yeah, I know him.
We had
the guy you're going to marry?
Yeah.
Yeah. He called our radio show because we were discussing what the future might be like with marriage. Tell me something. Are you engaged?
Yes, we are.
And when is the big date, Mary?
In April.
In April. And, you know, we got from his message to you that perhaps he had not been as forthright with you as he had been with us.
Has he discussed, Mary, besides that message he left, has he discussed the alteration in the vows, till death or 5 years do us part?
Yes.
He has. Well, that's good to know.
And you're okay with that.
Well, hey, you know, what if you meet somebody else? You never know what can happen. We're still young yet.
You know what? If you're down with that, Don, and then you've got a couple that is ready to implement your new strategy.
Your contract. So, really, you're not doing this just for a prize?
He's talked about this a long time ago.
And you are willing to incorporate till death or 5 years do us part in your wedding vows?
Yeah, sure.
Brilliant.
All right, listen, if you really do that, and when are you getting married, you said? In April?
End of April, yeah.
End of April. If you really do that, here's what we would do. And we don't even have to show up. We just need a tape recording of your ceremony where you guys say that to each other. And if you do that, we would give you a $1,000 wedding gift.
Well, y'all should come. We're going to be in Mexico.
You're getting married in Mexico?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that kind of invalidate the whole thing? I mean, at some point...
you're right, Don.
At some point, can't you... You know, what judge in his right mind is going to look at that and go, you got married in Mexico?
Now, unfortunately for young Mary here, I just feel horrible because it's worse than the vows. Your husband's taking you to Mexico.
That's
to get
where
married.
Guys go when they really don't want to be legally married.
Isn't that where you go for your quickie divorces?
That was my choice.
Right. That was your choice.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be, like, getting married on the beach or something romantic like that?
Exactly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You sure? Sure you're not going to be at the Hard Rock Cafe?
No.
No?
No.
So many loopholes.
I'm thinking of any place else in Mexico.
Is there a Hard Rock Cafe in Mexico?
Well, there's got to be. There's one everywhere.
And there one, like, in Cancun or somewhere
everywhere. Right.
And they've got a Planet Hollywood that has the Batphone from the Batmobile.
So in Cancun?
Yes. Lovely spot.
So are you going to Cancun, Mary?
No.
No?
No, that's for party kids. Spring Breakers.
Cozumel?
Where are you going in Mexico to get married?
Los Cabos.
Oh, yeah.
No, not Tijuana.
Los Cabos. So, is Sammy Hagar going to be at your wedding?
I hope so. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Right, now, here's the deal. If you allow us, and we'll get your information, if you allow us to somehow get a tape recorder down there, and we have to be sure that it's on the up and up, that it's a real tape of you really getting married,
mm-hmm.
meaning we'll need the entire ceremony.
Okay.
And I think most couples, like when the Broyhills got married, mm-hmm. God know that they had a multimedia show.
Don, yeah. I would be willing to fly down and verify the ceremony. I would have no problem doing that if the company was willing to...
The company would not.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, forget it then.
Okay.
All right.
But we'll... I'm serious about that. We'll give you $1,000 as a wedding present if you actually said in your vows, till death do us part, 5 years from now.
Okay.
So in your mind...
If the company wanted to put me up in a room in Cabos, you know, I'd be fine.
So in your mind, if... Let's say you got married in April, and in 4 years, Paul came to you and said, you know, baby, this isn't working out. I want out.
And now, for the first time, please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Idiot.
Hey.
I'm just kidding.
Or
is it genius?
Yeah, thank you, Buzz.
Yeah.
Thank you, Buzz. A fellow seer.
Uh-huh. Well, another married guy.
He did.
I know. I know, from the mind of Rob.
Well, listen, how will you feel if he says to you, as you approach the first window, if he says, you know, you are just...
You are a great bride.
You are just a... You know, he'll say it nicer than this, but just, you are just a bitch on wheels, and I cannot imagine spending one more second, much less, one more year, much less, one moment with you. That's it. So you're going to be fine with that?
I'll help him pack his bag.
There you see? She is. Give her a round of applause.
Bless her.
Very progressive thinking.
All right, Mary. Well, listen, I believe her. Do you guys believe her? At least she got the guy's message?
I think she's a modern gal.
Okay.
Mary, have you got all your bridesmaids and everyone picked for your wedding?
It's just going to be the two of us.
Oh, it's just going to be the two of you?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
right. What's the problem with that, Mike?
Well, I've lost a little of my thunder.
Why?
Well, I was, you know, I think of wedding, I think of, you know, bridesmaids hanging around.
You know? Oh, I see.
You can go down there and get some fantastic punta. The punta.
Oh, that's right, the stuff you pay for.
The punta.
I forgot about that.
Isn't that supposed to be great?
Yes, I'm just quoting Governor Schwarzenegger.
The fantastic punta.
Listen, you won tickets for Aerosmith and Kiss because you called us.
What? No way! Oh,
wow.
That's awesome.
And suddenly I believe that perhaps she is a woman who would do that.
Yeah, that's
who would,
great.
Who would say 5 years.
Sure.
Yeah. Listen to that enthusiasm. Yes, Aerosmith and Kiss, two rock legends, one stage, one night, MCI Center, Thursday, November 20th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. And we'll give you $100.
Oh, my God, thank you.
You're very welcome.
You sound very sweet.
Thank you very much. I love you guys. I'll listen to you forever.
Here's the try 5 months instead of 5 years.
Okay.
listen, do you love him?
Of course.
More than he loves you. But when did he approach you with the 5 year option?
He loved him more than he loves you.
Well, see, here's the
that's
thing.
A great question to ask a fiance.
Well, see,
but you love him more than he loves you.
Who brought it up? Did he bring it up or did you bring it up?
He brought it up.
He brought it up. That means that you love him more.
Yeah.
See, because he brought it up because he. Because he's the one who had the demon seed in his head first.
Right.
Like, well, what if?
Sure. Yeah.
What if it doesn't work
but
out?
But he better be careful. You know what? She sounds like a fine-looking woman.
Mm-hmm. What if it doesn't work out with old Reliable here? What am I gonna do if Mary breaks down?
Mm-hmm.
If like, Mary can't make it.
She has to be put down.
You have to put her down.
How old are you, Mary?
I'm 25.
25.
Okay, honey.
Perfect.
Well, listen, hold on. Enjoy the concert. And please, this will be one of our long-term projects. Rob, put this up on the board, please, on your bulletin board, that April, if this woman says this at her wedding, we'll give you some money. We'll give you $1,000.
Wow, thank you.
As a wedding gift.
Yeah, and if it's not the big wedding, Don, I'd feel kind of awkward, you know. I'd want to go into a thing where I could kind of blend in. If it was just the couple and me sitting there with a microphone and some, you know, little... inexpensive prostitute from Mexico.
Well, what if
that would be very, very gross.
Well, what if you and I went halfsies on it?
Went halfsies on the Mexico trip?
On sending you to Mexico to at least be at the wedding with a tape recorder. Keep in mind, when I went to Sacramento, I had to pay for that on my own dime when I went out there to pay off the bet. But this would be a 50-50 thing. I'd pay half, you pay half.
And I'll pay for half the hooker.
I think
I'm not going to get a hooker, Buzz.
Oh, you said.
But Mike, I mean, I you know. I,
hey, Buzz.
Yeah?
Mike, don't pay for sex.
Okay.
Wait,
thank you.
Said Mike, it. Don't pay for sex.
Thank you, Don.
You're welcome.
Thank you, brother.
I salute you, but you said
that I'd get the hooker down in Mexico. Yeah. I know.
So just help.
I was joking, okay?
Okay.
Buzz, listen, everyone knows that's a joke.
All right, Mr. Horn.
All right. Upset about his shirt again, Roy Horn.
That's right. I hope you feel better.
All right. So what do you say? Are you up for thinking about it, Mike?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
All right, hold on, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
So much to think about lately.
Yeah. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Don.
Yeah, Don and Mike. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I wanted to let you know, first of all, it's really nice to hear this show back to normal. It's a big improvement. But anyway, I saw some arrogant ass in traffic the other day. He was this old guy driving a brand-new Corvette, and the license plate was Dow's Up.
Oh, God.
Okay, now that's
right in that category.
I wanted to crash his car so bad.
That's another one.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
That's another one. You really wish the God was up there just pitching just big bolts of electricity.
Mm-hmm. I wanted him to crash so bad.
Don't they? But you know what it is, really? It's got to be individuals that are so completely out of touch and arrogant that they don't realize. Because I don't think people want to have a license plate
that people
are going to hate. You think they know people are going to hate it?
Yes, and there's something about them. And trust me, when I saw the guy's face when I drove past Determination today, he knew that he had something that said, and in essence what Determination said was, I got this car because I work harder than any of you other people on this road.
Exactly.
That's why... And he knew it, and he was getting the looks from people besides me. And the look back was a look of arrogance as he chatted on his hands-free.
That's the same thing, Dow's up.
Yeah, just as bad.
Dow's up. Dow is down, too.
Yeah.
Any guy that was driving Dow's up, that's got to be an old tag.
Sure, absolutely.
Man, you might want to fix that one.
Yeah, fix it by, like, just hitting your accelerator.
God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I was reading your comical license plate when I slammed into you.
Dow's determined. Jesus, eat me.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. Hey, listen, I didn't know whether you guys were aware of it. This is Rich in Rochester, by the way.
Yeah, Rich.
Did you know that Cousin Luigi is a descendant of Christopher Columbus?
Well, technically, yeah. Mm-hmm. I absolutely, he would be.
Yeah, I thought maybe you weren't aware of that. Or
Rich loves Cousin Luigi. You've called about Cousin Luigi before, haven't you?
And, hey, I'm going to get Cousin Luigi vanity plates, I think.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Friday night, this past Friday, a friend of yours was on television on Animal Planet.
We have no friends. Who would that be?
Dave Coulier.
Well, now we stand corrected.
Dear friend of the show.
We have no closer friend. Let me say, no more talented man.
Right.
In Hollywood.
Nice to see that career is still moving in the right direction.
Dave
Coulier,
it was on Animal Kidding, the name of the program.
What was it, Animal Kidding?
Animal Kidding.
Oh, there you go.
Dave Coulier.
That's a wonderful game show where Dave just takes the animals and tortures them and then says, just kidding.
I like to see him going with tigers.
Okay. Let me just say, you don't see Saget doing that, do you?
No way.
You don't see Blackie Parrish doing that.
No, he's just living off his wife's name.
My friend, we'll give you a prize here. Constant contest. What is your name?
My name?
Yeah.
Rich.
You have amused us, Rich.
Oh, great.
There you have won the Halloween costume of your choice. Courtesy of Masters Costumes. Now, even though there are 7 locations in the D.C. area, they will overnight a costume to you wherever you live. Where do you live?
I live in Rochester, New York.
Right, WHTK. I apologize.
Absolutely.
You said that earlier. To find the nearest one, go to masterscostumes.com. You please us greatly. Enjoy it.
Have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
We have been amused.
You are a funny caller. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
We are not amused by that silence.
Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Eli in Vegas.
It's who is this?
Eli.
Eli in Vegas.
I thought he said T-Y, which would have been an immediate disqualification, because technically that's like announcing yourself as B-A or G-D or... J.R.
If Rich in Rochester had known about the next call, he could have warned us.
Mm-hmm. No. The purpose of my call, on the caller...
You know what he would have said?
What?
Eli's coming.
Eli's coming. Hide your money.
I apologize. thank you for the applause, Rob. Don is giving me a look. You are not amused at that, are you?
No, I'm laughing at that.
Okay.
I'm laughing.
Okay.
I'm laughing on the inside. I'm not laughing on the outside. I'm laughing
very good.
On the inside.
You know, what the heck?
Yeah.
No.
How often do you get an Eli, right?
Hardly ever. And when he's coming, forget it. Eli's coming.
Right.
Hide your heart.
Hide your heart, girl.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What is that? Song 2, First Side, LA, live at the LA Forum?
I think, whatever you say is fine. I don't even know who did it.
It's Three Dog Night.
Three Dog Night, right?
Eli's a-coming.
Right. Anyway, the purpose of my call is you guys are talking about vanity plates, and the guy in Salt Lake, his last name is Udink, Udink. I'm sure Buzz has the press release, and that they won't allow him to get his license plate because it's too offensive.
You dink?
Yeah.
That seems so non-offensive, though.
Not offensive.
That's what he said on the crawler.
Salt Lake.
Buzz, aren't you doing an hour on that this weekend?
And this week on the Washington Weekly.
Are you sure, you weren't looking at Rob's tag that he wanted? Rob's was you chink.
Oh, dear
Not
God.
Not you dink.
Yeah, I didn't get that one through either. Wouldn't allow it.
Hello there, Don and... Oops, there we go. Don and Mike Show, hi.
Hey, this is Sean from Baltimore. How you guys?
Hi there, Sean. Live 105. There you go. There's a plug for our station in Baltimore.
Very good.
Hi, Sean.
I had to call in. My boss has that same personalized vanity tag on his SUV. Determination.
It's
a Maryland tag.
All right. Well, now, hold on a second. No, it can't be.
Swear to God. Determined, you know what?
Maybe
with the letter
determination.
The number 8, yeah. And then on.
Because I didn't want to give it out, but the tag that I saw was Maryland.
Really?
Yeah, and so his must have been...
Maybe they're spelled differently.
Yeah.
Maybe there are a few of them.
Well, it's one of those things there aren't enough letters to spell determination or determined.
Right.
It's one of those things where they were all just kind of lumped together, but as soon as you saw it...
Pretty sad that there are a couple of them floating around out there.
God, your boss must be...
He's not the type of person that deserves to have it either.
Your boss must be an ass, and you guys have to look at that license plate every day?
Yes, sir.
Anybody ever have the guts to comment on it to him, even if you're doing like in a fake suck ass way, but you're really goofing on him?
I said something to him about a year ago, and he just kind of gave me a look. Oh. You know the look. So I left it alone.
So you got to play it. You got to look good. Hey,
hey, that's pretty terrific. I guess you must be pretty determined.
Wow,
like a swabby guy look.
You are determined.
It was like what kind of look?
A swabby guy look, you know,
Rico
Suave
look.
Rico Suave. Suave guy look.
Rico Suave.
Suave.
Whatever.
Rico Suave.
Good hire.
Hello. Mike Show. Great shampoo, too, incidentally. Suave.
I like Suave.
Suave. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
I'll tell you something, though. Speaking of Suave shampoo.
Suave and DeBoner.
I want to tell you something that I believe, penny for penny, it's your finest bargain. In the shampoo aisle.
Mm-hmm. Suave?
Suave.
I'm inclined to. I use Suave over the weekend.
It's like 99 cents for a big-ass bottle. And I look at those things that my wife buys.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, and just because the packaging, it's like $7 or $8.
Yeah, exactly. Suave is a good deal, I think.
Suave makes it look like you spend a fortune on your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. When you really didn't.
Is that their ad?
Their slogan used to be, ours does what theirs does for a whole lot less.
Yeah. Oh, wasn't there one... Suave does what theirs does for less than half the price.
That might have been it, too.
And you know, the nice thing about the shampoo, you can also use it for teeth brushing, too.
Yep. And it's great on ice cream. And dogs love it.
My dishes have never been cleaner.
That's why I like their new cheese-flavored shampoo.
Greg!
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I have a very satisfying vanity plate story. I was driving in some D.C. traffic and trying to get to an exit. So I started nosing my little Volkswagen Golf in front of the...
Hey, Greg?
Yeah, man.
In the interest of everyone who's listening, and because we got to hit a break here,
all right,
what was the tag?
Well, I nosed my way in front of him. He didn't want to let me in, and his license plate said H82Wait.
Hate to wait. Okay, see, that's good. Thank you, my friend. Didn't need the whole story, but you just knew that.
That's great.
Hate to wait. That's another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just on a list somewhere.
And that's when you just want to, you know, stand in, the light turns green. You want to do the basic, I've got a mental block on the horrible game that we play. Honk for cash.
Honk for cash. Hello,
you
want to
do honk for cash every day in front of a guy.
Frank, Don and Mike, hello.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Right. I've got this next-door neighbor that's about a 450-pound sweaty hog, and on hers it says HTCHK for hot chick. And I have had the balls when I was liquored up to tell her that her license plate isn't the truth, so I lied to her.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know what you're talking about right there? You're talking about, like, Pedro Martinez courage right there to be able to get liquored up and tell a 400-pound woman.
I can't believe you're doing that again.
He's a hero.
You're a hero.
I never said he was a hero.
No, you didn't have to, Mike.
He was defending himself.
He's a hero.
Against a demented old man.
He's a hero. Him and Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my God. You're putting Pedro in the same category as Rush Limbaugh.
And listen, the Rush Limbaugh.
So that is completely unfair and unacceptable.
Here's the deal. The Rush Limbaugh stuff. Oh, Rob has just written me a note. His tag reads Zimmer. Very simple. It says Zimmer.
I said to somebody that night, Zimmer couldn't have gone out in Boston and paid for a drink. Because really, because everybody would have dug it.
Thanks,
I mean, really. Because that was the energy I was feeling from everybody was kind of into it.
Sure.
It really was, you know. A fight's a fight. It's like a hockey fight. You know, everybody you forget the game for a second and you see the melee and it was kind of fun. I'm sorry I kind of... And, you know, I hate reading these articles when they're like, you know, the black eye suffered by baseball. Boy, what a shame. The great pastime is so tawdry now because of the extracurricular activities. Who needs that? It was fun. It was fun. It's fun to see that once in a while.
Yeah.
Shakes things up a little bit. And my God, the courage that Pedro Martinez displayed.
He's a hero. And all those goons that packed that stadium were heroes, too.
What do you mean the goons that packed the stadium? They're all goons? Everybody that went to the Red Sox
game? I saw some. And Mike, if they were at Yankee Stadium, I'd call them. If they were Yankees, we're goons, too. You know,
yep.
The guys who, when they're saying the game is brought to you by whatever insurance company or beer, or whatever,
right.
You got the goons on TV that are liquored up and know that they're on TV.
Goons.
But Mike, let's take just a second to think seriously about the retarded guy who works for the Red Sox. And I'm not talking about the manager. I'm talking about the retarded guy that works in the bullpen.
The groundskeeper.
The groundskeeper.
Yeah.
The retarded groundskeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Who's suing two members of the Yankees. Or allegedly is going to sue them, right?
The story is they're going to file charges against Jeff
Stay
Nelson.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
That the police are going to file charges against Kareem Garcia and Jeff Nelson.
My question would be, and I'd love to see this sometimes, you know, because they do stats up the ass when you're watching, especially baseball, because they got time to fill. Which team, which major league team has the most retards on their roster, meaning office staff included?
Mm-hmm.
Do the Red Sox lead the league, or do all the clubs have like a retarded clubhouse boy, retarded, this guy was the bullpen guy?
You mean the eighth grade special ed teacher?
Oh, I thought he worked for the Red Sox.
He did, but he's also, that's what he does part-time, but he teaches middle school. That's what he's
a teacher. I thought he was retarded.
He's a teacher, no.
Oh,
no, he's a teacher.
My mistake.
Yeah.
It's a natural mistake.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You know,
yeah, I thought.
Why let the facts get in the way of a good gag at my Red Sox expense? Huh?
See, I wouldn't have said it.
I'm about to hop over the right field wall, just like Kareem Garcia.
I wouldn't have said it if I didn't think. I take it back, though.
Right.
I don't take back the other stuff about Pedro, but I take that back.
Well, you know, that's fine, too. That's fine. Well, then, fine. Well, then, hey.
Really, I apologize. And I apologize to all of the retarded groundskeepers across America, because I didn't mean anything by it. I really thought that guy was...
challenged?
Yeah.
No.
Because
not challenged at all.
It's one of those things, you hear it... And
actually, a pretty well-respected teacher.
And you watch it,
in the article
sound bites, and then you see the thing on the bottom of the screen just go by, you know, when the news goes by, and you see... Yankees.
He was rooting for the Red Sox in the bullpen. That's where he's stationed over there. And apparently Jeff Nelson took exception to the fact that he was getting the crowd to cheer for the Red Sox.
But he only works with them.
What's that? He's a special ed teacher.
He's not eligible for MVR.
And that is, what is MVR?
Most valuable.
Retard. Oh, God. Boy, oh, boy. You on medication today?
Yeah, I'm all doped up on cold medicine.
Yeah, good one, Buzz.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, we'll be right. Mike, seriously.
But I sure don't think that the Yankee players should be prosecuted.
We'll be right back. You love that, don't you?
Oh, I do.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, baby.
You know, look at all these phones going crazy about vanity tags. You know, we could do that for a whole show.
Yeah. Hey, the only thing that you said that was true, though, is a civil suit might be pending.
but there are all kinds of shows that go all day with stuff like vanity tags. We'll come back to that. Really, this Rush Limbaugh stuff is got to be discussed. Besides the fact that the Inquirer came out with their new stuff, and a lot of you might think, well, it's the Inquirer. Well, Newsweek magazine.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the cover of Newsweek.
Yep. And is he in rehab now? Is he already in there?
He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And rather than go on to just the stuff that is housekeeper had said, Wilma, Newsweek does a bit of editorializing about Rush Limbaugh and takes a stand on Rush Limbaugh.
Very good.
And I think it's interesting. And he's so out of control. He's so freaking out of control. I don't wish him any ill will. I think he's in a very bad situation, and I pray I hope that he comes out okay. I don't pray he comes out okay, but I hope he comes out okay, because it's a tough situation.
Yeah, it is very difficult.
However, when you read this stuff and you see how deep into it he is, mm-hmm. and you see how long it's been going on and the depth that it's been going on.
While at the same time, you know, saying the things he says.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah. And
that's an issue.
I'm leaving the work Friday and turned on to MAL, that's the local station that carries him, that you know, they're as happy as a pig in S because they don't have to have a topic on any show.
You always have to watch that hypocrisy, and that's why I'd like to make this statement right now. People that drink to excess, they are okay with me.
That's right.
Thank you.
But I'm in
Thank you
car,
very much.
And I'm turning on MAL, which is, you know, the right-wing station now because they have Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
And rather than think of something to talk about, the disc jockey, Chris Core, loser, total loser,
mm-hmm.
to begin with. Loser in life, loser in radio, Chris Core.
Loser in love, let's be honest.
Okay.
You're
right, he's 3 for 3.
There you go.
Well, he's doing his... And I've noticed this all weekend, every time I turned on MAL. And he's cross-eyed, Rob.
That's true.
He's cross-eyed as well. He could be a Dixie chick. He's up there playing the tapes of Rush Limbaugh saying, I will not answer the accusation now, so I'll get back to you in the future. I'm listening to this, and they've got a spin machine going, and I'm sure Rush Limbaugh's radio stations around the country, all of them have this same thing going. His whole show was people calling up and saying, well, this thing with Rush, it's not like drugs. They're prescription drugs, and he was in a lot of pain, and we should have compassion and sympathy for him. But he, you know, it's not like he was doing real drugs. Check it out. Check it out on your stations and your markets and see how your radio station is handling it. That's the reason I bring this up right now. You know, it's well documented that I did more than experiment with drugs. Never anything like this stuff. But listen, the deal is, what he was doing was bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
Not about pain. When you get to that level, it's not about pain at all.
Yeah, you read the emails and you know that, and you know that he knew that.
And anyway, you just got to hear the story. And then we'll do a little bit with this, where we'll call Russian Rehab.
Very good.
To see how he's doing.
Good.
But just know that there's this disclaimer up front that I wouldn't be saying anything about this or even bringing this up if he had been upfront about this when he was nailed. You know, just say, well, yeah, I did it. It's really badass. I can't tell you about it now, but let it go. But he's preached about this for years.
Yep, he has.
Very, you know, we mentioned that he's got some quotes that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a, you know, forgiving kind of guy. No.
When you get to the Inquirer, where they have... They have the actual tapes, the transcripts of the tapes, and the emails that he sent to this lady.
Right.
Here's the thing. And Robbie's not cross-eyed. Rush Limbaugh's not cross-eyed.
No, you're right.
Here's the thing.
Not yet.
He's a drug addict. Just like a lot of people are alcoholics and drug addicts. They're not to be, myself included, they're not to be held up. They're not to be made to be martyrs. But what you do is you come clean about it.
Yeah. And you try to get clean.
And he's not come clean about the... He's not in any way addressed the level that that this has been going on.
In fact, he's even said that some of the things you've heard are inaccurate, and he'll be clearing those up later.
You know, that's just not what you say.
That's partial denial.
You know what you say? You just come out and say, wow, I really effed up.
Yeah. Well, when you have an act, believe me, folks, that's what it is. Yeah. It is an act.
And, Mike, very importantly, see, I'm sorry to interrupt you this time. Really, I am. That's something we've said for years. In this Newsweek thing... They address that.
About the act?
The fact that it's an act.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And as a matter of fact, one of the parts of this Newsweek story, which is much more factual than the National Enquirer, depending on how much you believe their facts.
Right, right.
The Newsday thing says, Limbaugh's story owes more to the Wizard of Oz than the Scarlet Letter. The man behind the curtain is not the god of family values, but a childless, twice divorced, thrice married schlub whose idea of a good time is to lie on his couch and watch football endlessly. Now, right there I would say Rush Limbaugh is no different than any other guy listening to the show. Everybody's been married a couple of times, with the exception of someone like Buzz, or even Rob, right. but that's not awful.
No.
Childless, you know, Buzz is barren, he's okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. Barren.
Thrice married, well, who, you know, like I said, I've been married a couple of times, twice divorced, right. Whose idea of a good time is lie on his couch and watch football endlessly. That's any guy.
Most America.
But here's where Rush Limbaugh shoots himself in the foot. When he declared to his radio audience that, quote, he was your epitome, Epitome. Epitome. That's the funny way to say
it. That's the funny
epitome. Your epitome.
Right.
Epitome. I understand it. Of your... Now I'm going to say it the wrong way. Your
epitome of...
Of morality and virtue.
Right. He said that. Right.
Yes. A man you can totally trust with your wife, your daughter, or even your son in a Motel 6 overnight. That is a quote from Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, my God. And before you explain that, the act, you know, that's what the act is.
Yeah.
Now, that, and the act is also very important, very much like O'Reilly, the act is I am not wrong.
Right.
I am right. One of the rarest thing you'll hear on shows like that is somebody saying, well, you have a good point. I'm probably wrong about that.
Yeah, you never hear that.
Because you can't.
It goes on then to say, after the part about I'm a man of... virtue, a man of morality, and a man you can trust your wife, your daughter, your son within a Motel 6. The article says he was acting, which is something we've said about the guy for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
Time, right. That he was acting. He regards himself as an entertainer who's very pleased that people pay attention to his political views. And then they write, granted, Limbaugh's act has won over or fooled a lot of people.
Oh, of course.
With his heartland pie ties and scorn from feminazis and commie snips like West Wing President Martin Sheen, who he calls Martin Sheensky,
ooh,
blah, 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 goes on, and wow. Then there's the part about him being... God, hold on, wait a second. Where's the part about him being the fat high school kid who couldn't make...
Sure.
The football team, but got on as the kicker, got into the world of radio, and failed at radio when he was in regular radio, and finally came up with this. Anyway, it's Rush Limbaugh. And it's the only reason I bring this up is that it's all out there, and I'm hearing parroted.
He will. I don't know where you weigh in on this one, but I will tell you he will survive this also.
Oh, yeah. It'll
he
be
will
great
survive this because the amount of that act has successfully... I will use the term brainwashed so many people.
Yeah.
And because he doesn't have a kind of show where he says, yeah, occasionally, yeah, you might have a good point, I'm wrong, because it is constantly, I'm right. This is the right way. There's only one way. There is never even the slightest wavering from that message that he gets out. You're talking about political candidates being on message. This guy is the king of being on message. There is never anything that goes from that one trick pony statement that he makes every day with the political beliefs. And because of that, people have bought into it, and that's because he will... I hope he's a little more humble when he pops back.
I don't think he will be, because he's not taking the first step. And I am, again, I'll say it for the last time, living proof of this. You have to hit the absolute bottom before you realize, wow, I'm in a world of mess. He's not hit bottom yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's really not hit bottom yet. I've not heard any statements. And when I turn on his radio station and I hear, you know, the morons going, hey, this is Bill from Rock. I won't say, we support Rush. And you know what he ate? It's not his fault. He got addicted to these painkillers, and it's not like he was doing real drugs. And you know, he really means what he says, and we just support him. And then, you know, then the dope on ML goes, well, that's a very good point. And don't forget, you can hear Rush Limbaugh tomorrow at noon,
right.
You know, and now... So that's the serious...
I mean, you're doing both. You know, it's very easy to say, I don't think you abandon a guy when he's going through something like this. You certainly don't, you know, take this opportunity to kick somebody when they're down. But you also hope that what comes out of this is somebody who's never been humble, that maybe there's a little bit of humility there. You really do.
I mean,
anybody that does this for a living... And don't you think we've all had our moments? I mean, you and I have certainly had our moments on the air, and we share them with people, and we, you know, and they're not pretty.
Okay.
They're not pretty at all.
Having said all of that, and sorry to be, like, serious for a minute there, but we were. Having said all of that, there is, trust me, nothing funnier than the stuff that's in the National Enquirer this week. The tapes.
Right.
The emails. The times he's visited this housekeeper to get his pills, the places he met her,
right?
They go much more into detail than the stuff we had last week.
Good.
It's better this week than it was last week.
The story is good fun.
Yeah, it is. And you know, enough. You know how I feel. I wish him, you know,
whatever
the best. But he's done nothing to come clean yet.
No.
You know, someone who's been there, he's done nothing yet to come clean about.
Well, and if it's a good rehab program, maybe he will come out a change guy, but
hell, I don't
count on it.
I don't know. Hello. Oh, support for Rush. Rob, we got a break. We got a break.
Hey, Dynamite.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob.
Just wanted to, real quick, that I turned on Rush's show today just to hear who what might be sitting in for him, and it was just it was sickening to hear this guy, I forget what his name was, it wasn't important anyway, but how he was saying this is Rush's big time need, and like he lost his family dog or something like that, when you know, and true fact of the matter is I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I take responsibility for everything I did, and this guy's just trying to take the easy road out, being somebody got to it before he could.
Yeah, I mean, you have to agree with that, and I hope he has some people around him that'll enlighten him a little bit.
Well, according to this article, it won't be his wife, because I guess you just found out about it.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big deal right where he hit him.
Yeah, but now we have all the details. We got our break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
I just had a thought. This won't be on the network. But do you think Rush Limbaugh's... Do you think his tags might say Oxycontin? It's not Oxycontin. What is it, bud?
Oxycontin.
Oxycontin. Thank you.
And now another guy who didn't use real drugs.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night and didn't make it.
They're all prescription.
I don't know the words to it, so...
Dr. Nick.
I had to read it.
Rush
Limbaugh.
Move
it up. Just, you know, please forgive us.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah.
I love bitches,
right?
Woke up this morning. God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's right. Rush Limbaugh. Here we go.
Rush Limbaugh.
From the National Enquirer. Oh, you know, we've not gotten to the Beyond Skin CD yet.
No.
The PSAs about racial harmony.
That's right.
Tomorrow. And also tomorrow, the... What gripping topics we have on the show. Tongue scrapers.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to talk about that.
And more on fancy cars tomorrow.
Fancy.
Someone sent in from eBay. It's a real item. eBay item 295-561-7328. Real item.
Mm-hmm.
The item is Hurricane Isabel Air.
Oh.
Captured. Get it here. You are bidding on a bag of captured atmosphere from Hurricane Isabel.
Give you some air in here right now.
That's right. Here's your chance to own a very rare thing indeed. My relatives were on vacation when the hurricane struck. Being the strange people are, they ran outside and captured some of the air in a Ziploc baggie. I have only 3 bags left. So get your hurricane air before it's too late. Item will come safely shipped to
you. I have
you.
Some.
But take extreme caution when opening the bag.
I have some, too.
The auction...
I have more than he has.
This auction is for one bag only.
Can you beat his price?
Yes, I can.
Wow. You know, we talk about eBay.
I'll beat his price by half.
We threw away a lot of money. Do you know that programs, the ones they were handing out at Siegfried and Roy, are now selling for like $30?
Wow.
And we threw ours away after you wrote on it.
How about that?
Starting bid, $1 for the bag of air.
Well, I hope it goes up to $1.25.
Also from a guy named Rich in California, he sent us a copy of the actual ballot. I don't know. Now, how this guy did it, I don't know. I see. The sample ballot for the California governor thing.
Oh, my God.
Candidates to succeed Gray Davis as governor.
Mm-hmm.
There is a guy who got 11,000 votes named George Schwartzman.
Hmm.
And the thinking is he got 11,000 votes because his name is right underneath Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And people are basically idiots.
Makes sense.
And the guy ran the numbers, and the numbers work out that 1 in 350 people were so stupid
that they thought Schwartzman was Schwarzenegger?
They did.
Close enough.
Thank you for that, Rich. Now, on to Rush Limbaugh in the National Enquirer, part 2. Rush Limbaugh's secret drug tapes, housekeeper. I don't know where to start. I'm just going to start reading, and you tell me if you're interested, and we'll move on to another topic.
Very good.
Inside the Limbaugh thing.
Right.
Here's the new stuff that was not in the article that we read last week. Again, some of this is now a direct quote from Wilma. He was shameless. Wilma is his maid.
Right. Wilma!
He was shameless. If he knew anyone who was suffering in pain, he would try to persuade them to share their pills.
Awesome.
Early on, she realized that she was not Rush Limbaugh's only supplier.
Oh.
She found empty vials of liquid hydrocodone and pill packets that had arrived at his $24 million Palm Beach mansion by FedEx.
Wow.
The mansion's houseman told her he had been talked into giving Rush Limbaugh some of his wife's painkillers after she had a miscarriage.
Mm.
Wow, that's bad.
If you're hooked, you're going to do it. You're going to do anything. You're going to say anything.
Once while cleaning the bathroom in Rush's office, she overheard him on the phone in another room begging yet another person for pills.
How about that task of cleaning the bathroom?
I got a call from a member of the staff at Rush's mansion. He told me about a stenographer who accompanied Rush to a conference. Before they left, the woman had broken her leg. She told Rush she was on painkillers. While they were at the conference, Rush suddenly told her he had a migraine. Could he get some painkillers? When she agreed, he sent her back to the hotel to fetch them.
Sure.
Wow.
That's the sidebar to the little story. Wow. Here we go. Now, the shocking evidence that the Inquirer has.
Okay.
And that's what it says, the shocking evidence.
Sure.
Forms a diary of Rush Limbaugh. Now, they allegedly have taped messages with Rush Limbaugh's voice. Not only emails, but taped messages.
Yeah, did they contact this Wilma lady, or did the contact begin while he was still
doing all this? From what I've read, the Inquirer's known about this for over a year.
Okay, so they've really been just setting this thing up and covering their ass, because they've lost some lawsuits.
Yes,
they probably wanted to just do it right.
In one taped message, Rush Limbaugh reveals his code name for money.
Cabbage. I remember that from last week.
So here's one of the messages. Leave a message if you have anything to report. Rush left messages for Wilma in his blustering baritone voice. Let me know where, and I can have some cabbage. I can get to the grocery store, quote, the bank,
yeah,
and get some. In the 4 years from 1998 to 2002 that Wilma says she supplied Rush with pills, the radio host grew ever more anxious that drugs would be forthcoming. I'm hoping that something will pop today, he says expectantly on one phone message. Rush would set up for meetings for deliveries by phone. I can meet you at 325 at the old place on Jog Road, or someplace at 615, Rush says in one taped message. Rush would sometimes meet her in the parking lot of an Amoco station, or a 20-minute drive from his West Palm Beach mansion to two Amoco stations. There she and Rush would exchange Cuban cigar boxes, empties from Rush's stock of illegal smokes. Now, hey, let's not be that hard on the guy. Who doesn't like a nice Cuban cigar? His box contained his cash payment. Hers had sandwich bags filled with painkillers.
Wow.
Rush was so desperate, at times he would leave phone messages on her machine to remind her that he had emailed her requests for pills. Her ledger of Rush's purchases from July 2001 to June 2002 records deliveries of more than 30,000 hydrocodone,
right,
Lorset and OxyContin pills,
mm-hmm,
and the deliveries came nonstop no matter what the occasion. In the days before his 51st birthday, Rush was thinking more about popping pills and blowing out candles. I am leaving town next Wednesday and may need a restock on Tuesday, if possible. Rush emailed Wilma on January 9th.
Obviously all he was thinking about.
January 9th. Wilma told Rush that by his birthday morning, she, quote, and she wrote this back, she may come across 100 of the little blues. She wrote, I will grab all of them for you. And how many big blues, code for the painkiller hydrocodone,
uh-huh,
for your departure, and how many for today aside from the others? Rush emailed back a huge order.
Sure.
400 today, keeping 100 in reserve. Another 300 to 400 for departure if the small blues come through. Rush began to use his computer to place his drug orders after Wilma left her job as housekeeper. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Then you get to the part about being deaf. Judging from the messages in the email diary, he apparently needed a lot more post-operative medication than doctors would prescribe.
Huh.
2 days before his ear surgery, a Monday, Rush emailed Wilma. Tuesday morning? This afternoon after 5? I'm leaving tomorrow afternoon for the rest of the week. Let me know thanks. Wilma replied, sure, notice, all I have on hand is 200. What are you looking for after I get done with this email? I'll make a call, let me know. Rush messaged back, an additional 100 or 200 would do. Don't need that many for it. Don't need that many for a trip. 200/300 is fine.
What does this kind of stuff do to your body? I mean, it's got to mess it up pretty bad.
His colon's got to be a mess.
I mean, I would assume, with the whole thing with Elvis and the stories we've read about Elvis.
Yeah, he took laxatives. Elvis took laxatives and uppers, and that's what clogged up his colon. Now, in Rush's case, I mean, as we discussed when this first came up, it could have even caused his deafness.
Right.
So
right.
That could be an example of the damage that it would do.
Okay. Rush's left ear implant device was activated in early 2002. He could hear clearly. Blah, blah, blah. Wilma was concerned about Rush's hearing and emailed him January 22. Can you hear me? She asked. And Rush took advantage of her message of concern to stock up. Yes, I will be able to hear you, the email replied. Is there a reason for me to call you, say, after the show? Wilma wrote back, only if you're in need. Rush's reply, only for small blue babes, requesting a supply of OxyContin pills. At times, Rush peppered Wilma with requests for drugs and messages just minutes apart if she didn't respond immediately.
Wow.
On November 8, 2001, Rush was frantic that Wilma hadn't got a message about a delivery to his office in Palm Beach the next day, a message that she couldn't wait in the parking lot, but had to come right up to the office. Here's Rush's email. Having trouble? Again, getting confirmation from you. 7:30 is great, but go ahead and come in. No need to stay put. We'll make it quick. It's easier this way. This is the third time I have tried to get this message to you after I was told you would be monitoring email. Can you please reply and confirm?
Wow.
At other times, the emails from Rush are heart-wrenching. Messages of a lonely man in search of drugs on holidays when Wilma was away from home celebrating with family members. Are you around? Rush asked in an email he sent to Wilma on New Year's Eve, 2001.
Ooh.
He got no reply. New Year's Day, he again wrote, are you around? The next day, he emailed Wilma, are you back yet? He was getting anxious and sent the same email a minute later. I am back, came the instant message. What have you got? Wrote Rush. On May 27th, his 8th wedding anniversary, Rush wasn't thinking about celebrating with his wife. He was worried that Wilma was getting fed up with having to lay out the cash to buy the pills. See, she's paying, and he's paying her back.
Right.
He was building up a debt that Wilma said rose to $80,000.
Ooh.
And this is why, this is my whole problem with Rush Limbaugh. I have sympathy, I have empathy, I've been there. I get this whole thing of addiction.
Right.
Trust me, I get it. I've been through it. But this is not even a regular addiction. This is like an addiction that none of us can comprehend, if all this is true.
Yeah.
None of us can comprehend how gigantic this is.
What it does. I mean, what this particular prescription medication does.
The fact that he's not owned up to this is the part of this that is just pissing me off.
Right.
I mean, even if his lawyers are saying, legally, you might get arrested because you bought hundreds of thousands of these pills, you want to keep any credibility with your listeners and in your own soul,
right,
you have to come out and say, listen, I really effed up.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he just was to say that, I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to try to address them, instead of this stuff with, there have been some things that are not quite true, there have been...
Right, right.
I mean, everything is speaking in half...
Right. Halfway there.
Hold on. There's more. Okay, here's... One more transcript. Wilma said that he told her he had to be careful about withdrawing thousands of dollars from his bank accounts to pay her back the money she's been fronting. Certainly my latest deposit helped, Rush told Wilma in an email message on his anniversary. Wilma replied, it did help, but my connection does not front me anything. It's no cash, no pills. I've been using my nest aid to cover you, Rush emailed back. How much do you need to get me another 300?
Oh, so he didn't even respond to that. It was just like, get me my pills.
Yeah. It was a big order because at the time on his wedding anniversary, he had decided he was going to beat his habit. Rush was scheduled for a 24-hour detox treatment in New York in mid-June, 2 weeks away. For Rush, however, that meant he should do as many painkillers as he could before the poison was flushed out of his system. Wow. How Elvis-like is
that? That is very Elvis-like.
Very.
Just after noon on his anniversary, Rush emailed Wilma, "The middle of June is my stop time, so it's not much longer. If you could keep those quantities coming, I would truly appreciate it." The next day, May 28th, Rush asked Wilma to supply a big order. "Just 2 weeks to detox. I want to go out with a bang if you get my drift. Hee, hee, hee." May 31, Wilma told Rush she had a supply of OxyContin in two different sizes. "Hi, I did a head count to get you through. Tuesday, 100 little blues and 30 80s, 80 milligram doses will work right." Rush's response is ecstatic. "Oh, yeah!" Exclamation point. "You didn't mention the 50 80s in your previous note. 100 little blues and 50 80s will be just great. You are a doll."
Wow.
I mean,
you know what I don't understand? Is during this period of time, if anybody ever saw him just whacked out of his mind. And I guess if you've got a tolerance for it, or you don't really show it, but I would think with the amount that we're talking about, there were many times where he was just like, "Yeah, whatever."
Right? I guess. I don't know. You know, like I said, if what she's saying is absolutely not true, I'm sure he would have come out and said, "Everything you've read is not true."
Mm-hmm.
I just don't buy this, he's getting a free pass because they're just, you know, they were prescribed medicines.
Right.
No, you reach a point where they're not prescribed, where he's meeting somebody and exchanging cabbage for pills.
Yeah. I mean, the amazing amounts. I mean, these type of medicines, don't doctors prescribe like 10 and 12
when
you have some sort of...
no refill.
I mean, obviously, if you've got some sort of, if you've got cancer or something like that, you're going to get more of them. But, I mean, we're talking 300.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, because as you were talking about earlier, his act requires that he not admit that he's a real drug addict, but his recovery requires that he admit that he's a real drug addict. So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out.
So what you have to do...
Well, he admitted to being addicted on his show, did he not?
Yeah, but the spin, as Don was saying, is that, well, these aren't real drugs. This is medicine, and I was in pain. Well, yes and no.
No, but not with those quantities.
Right,
absolutely
not. Right, right. Illegally obtained.
It had nothing to do with pain.
Right.
Frankly.
Right.
I mean, maybe
at the very beginning.
Just like with anybody who's in a situation. And I've been in a similar situation.
You know, and let's...
Dude, you're handling this all wrong.
Hey, let's be honest. People we've worked with in this business, you know what it was like when I had my wisdom teeth out and I had Percocet.
Oh, what about Rusty Ford?
I mean, he was the guy that had a problem with that. And so people, and a couple of people would say, "Hey, you got these?"
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people that dug them.
You know, we got from break, but one day, Mike had just had a root canal or something. And this, we had just got done doing our morning show. It was 10 o'clock.
I had my wisdom teeth out, and I was no longer in pain. And he asked me about it, and I had a bunch of them because I didn't take them. And he wanted, I brought
he
one.
He took them on the spot.
I gave one to him, and he ran down the hallway to the water fountain.
Yeah.
Right away. Rusty Ford.
For you, Power 105.
And that's the guy who had sex with a cow.
Yes.
He had to get up on a stool to do it.
Yeah, but I don't think he was taking any Percocet when that happened.
I don't think so. All right, so, well, I guess people want to comment on this. Well, I don't want to comment. We've already given what we think.
Right.
I mean, I'd rather do the bit now where we call them in rehab. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hey.
First of all, you were pretty stand-up coming out as quick as you did and the way you did, and I commend you for that.
Well, let me also say that, you know, I was caught with a couple of joints, and I'd been partying a while earlier with all kinds of stuff, but, I mean, not massive quantities like this. That would be like the equivalent if I was pulled over with 800 pounds of pot like that guy from the Cowboys was.
Right.
I mean, when you're talking about... I'm not trying to say that I'm any better than he is. I wish he would admit that he's down at my level.
I'm not insinuating that. I'm saying it might take addicts, you know, depending on, of course, this quantity a little longer to, come out. You know, but I think the media has already played this like they're not going to charge him because they want to get to the supplier.
Right.
Yeah, but...
You know what? I'm also going to make a statement here also. When somebody's dealing with that, and I was with you when you were dealing with that too, and I knew it before you got into the trouble you did, and I think in a lot of situations, you don't just point. Obviously, you have to take personal responsibility for this, but when you're in that situation, people that are close to you, and you're talking to one of them right now, I think they've got more of a responsibility to speak up a little bit. It's not always an easy situation to do.
Right.
And I regret, I look back and I regret on, you know, not doing that.
And I don't regret my many emails that I sent you. Mike, need more puffy green buds. Need 500 buds.
Little blues.
Must have little greens.
Little blues.
All right, see you later. We got to run, because now we'll have some fun. Because now that we've said all that, you know, he put himself in this situation.
Right.
He's in rehab. He's in some posh place. Where is it, Buzz? Is it out in Arizona?
Yeah, I think so.
In Arizona?
But he's hurting, I think.
We'll call him. We'll find out right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Boy, do I dig this way out music. Let's see. I'll try number 14 this time.
The Don and Mike Show.
You too, Dino. Daddy's speaking on the radio.
Now listen.
Did you wash your ass today? Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
This is why I'm a funny guy. You got to give me a second. We're going to call Rush Limbaugh in rehab now. Give me a second. A little dialing music here. Then you'll get the joke. Don't pick it up yet. Hold on. Right here. What is it? Ah, baby blue. Okay, there you go. Rush made my joke.
Rush's baby blues.
Hello?
Hello?
Rush. Don and Mike Show.
Who's this? Who's this?
Rush, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, dear.
Rush.
Excuse us. Sorry. Irritability. Who is this?
This is the Don and Mike Show, Rush.
I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. They said you were going to call. I can't stop this bruising.
Oh.
I have bruises, what bruises all over my body.
What bruises do you have?
It's part of the detox.
Wait, now I'll give everybody another insight.
I hope to God that you can understand the fact that I'm experiencing quite a variety of symptoms due to rehab.
These symptoms were researched by
anxiety,
by Joe on the internet.
Blood in stool.
Oh, no, that's really
vomit.
Pretty common.
That's really on the list.
Can't stop cold, clammy skin.
Ooh.
Expecting lots of mucus. Mouth so dry. Throat swelling. Eyes, skin turning yellow.
Ooh.
How's Wilma?
I haven't been in contact with her since this entire thing went down, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying very hard to beat this. I do have a problem, and I will be dealing with this if I can just get rid of most of this mucus.
Okay, now.
Oh, Christy, not feeling too good right now.
Rush?
Dizziness, dry throat, difficulty swallowing, all sorts of things are bothering me right now. Severe diarrhea, constant yawning.
Now, just so you know.
Sweating. My pupils are dilated. My nose is running. Things are not all good.
Now, these are all on the list from the internet, right?
What? Excuse me. Yes. Why? Why must you point that out? Funny without pointing that out. Mucus.
No. Funnier having pointed it out that these are not just like Mike making up things.
You're
real.
Not funny with the muscle aches, the nausea, the vomiting, the irritability, the emotional dependence, the dry mouth, the difficulty swallowing or breathing, the diarrhea, dry throat, drowsiness, dizziness, much difficulty in urinating.
Ooh.
God, and the bruising. I can't seem to stop the bruising.
Oh.
And, of course, the main one.
What's that, Rush?
Depression.
Oh,
how you so doing? Depressed.
How you doing, buddy?
So down, so out, so lost in a river of self-pity.
maybe it'll make you feel better to hear that Donovan McNabb's team did not win this week.
Can you give me a moment? I think this might be a breakthrough. We might have a little epiphany. I've got one right here in the room. I've got a commode over in the corner.
Oh, not a pretty sight going to rehab.
No, damn stool, come out. No good.
Oh, okay.
That has been my entire existence, ladies and gentlemen. Constipation, very bad. The bruising, the anxiety. Oh, swelling lips. So dry, can't feel lips. Swelling tongue, getting dry. Hives covering the body, including the genitals. Very bad. Allergic reactions. Oh, hydrocodone, you've done me bad. The mood of little blues. A little blues. Oh, would you look at this? Another ruined tie. Another ruined tie. Skin turning yellow. Life not good. Depression. God help me, please. I want to be back to being Jeff Christie in St. Louis and playing music.
So, how you doing?
What?
How you doing?
Not good. Depressed. Tired. Irritable. Tired, but can't sleep. Still tired. Very bad. Skin yellow. Eyes watering.
Are you a junkie?
Dilated. No, that's not necessarily true. I don't believe I am. I think there's been a lot of information, ladies and gentlemen, that's been out in the world that is incorrect, and I plan at some point in the near future.
What's wrong, Rush?
A little chill. It's a cool breeze. I think someone came by and opened this window here.
You're in Arizona. It's like 100 degrees.
No, it's not. Liar!
It's 100 degrees.
It's not. Can't possibly be. Excuse me just a second. Nurse, may I have one blanket? Is there a chance that you could give me a pill? No. Please. All right. She's getting me a blanket. This mucus. Very frustrated. Very tired. Very
Rush.
Yes, Don.
You know what I'm doing tonight?
What are you doing? Oh, dear. Here it comes again. Here it comes. Oh, dear.
Rush.
Lightheaded. Dizzy. Took a fall. Poor bruise. Look at these ankles. My God, they're the size of elephants.
I'm going home tonight. I'm going to have a big bowl of ice cream. You know what I'm going to put on top of it?
What's that?
Some M&M's.
Yes.
And some Jimmy's.
Oh, my.
And I'm going to put about 50 Oxycontins on it.
That's cruel. You're being a torturing.
On my ice cream.
Don, please understand. Will you please understand starving but can't eat, tired, can't sleep, bloated, can't poo, thirsty, can't hold down fluid.
So the ear thing.
Constant falling in shower.
So Rush, he's down again. Rush,
slow, weak breathing.
The hearing thing? Did you get
sluggishness?
Did you do that to yourself?
Changes, mental clouding, itching, yeah. Indigestion, hoarseness. I'm not well. Damn you! You're probably enjoying this, aren't you? Being a competing disc jockey, you're probably enjoying my pain.
No, I'm not. I'm actually.
You like the fact that the yellowing of the skin and eyes is taking place on the limbal body, don't you?
I have some compassion for you. I just don't think you're handling it the right way.
I am devoid now of finger and toenail.
Oh, no.
They have flat fallen off.
Let me see if I get a counselor.
Nothing I can do about it.
See if I get a counselor here to help you.
Stomach pain. Nurse, stomach pain.
Yeah.
Give me something for the pain, please.
Anyway, oh, dear. Joe, would you get Joe to come in here for just a second? Just a real fast intervention?
Fantastic.
Joe. Maybe well. Joe can get somewhere with Rush.
Tired. So tired. Losing consciousness. Losing consciousness. No.
Rush, joining us now is Joe Ardinger, who might be able to help you through this.
Wait a minute. Joe?
Rush?
Slow Joe?
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh.
How are you?
How are you?
Well, better than you.
Oh, buddy, you know what I'm going through, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you're in the
frozen. I told you, Joe, this would have been avoided if I had dealt with you like I did originally with my visits down to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I want to thank you. I'll tell you right now because now my scabs are boozy. Joe, it is so great to hear your voice here, a calm influence. I'm wondering if there's a... Are we on a secure line here?
Sure.
Is there a chance you could visit me, if you know what I mean, wink, wink?
Sure.
The BB Blues.
I'd be more than happy to.
Could you bring me the BB Blues? Life at it.
Hang in there.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, you were supposed to counsel him and tell him not to take that stuff anymore.
Okay, well, then about 24 more hours, you'll be fine.
How long, Joe?
24 more hours.
24 more hours?
He went in on Friday night. He should be fine by Monday night.
Twitching. My teeth are loose and my tongue thick, Joseph. But it is good to hear your calming voice. I know we share some things that only two men with our problem can. How are you?
It's fine. At least you're admitting that it's a problem.
Still growing your hair long?
Yes.
Yes, you look like a hippie, you know?
He looks like Shaggy from...
Yes, I'm aware.
Scooby-Doo.
I've seen him many times. Flown to D.C. Had him down to Florida. He's been down to the Mets many, many, many times. We've enjoyed... Oh, cold coming on again. Chill. Tell me why. Oh, why am I... lactating. Why am I lactating? Milk coming out of breasts? Wrong.
Well, listen, our time is up. Rush, we're behind you.
I'm covered with spots.
Oh. And you should know that Chris Gore is, of course, defending himself, defending himself.
Don't need to pay attention to that little bastard. Tell him I don't need the help.
All right.
Four-eyed little hump.
Anything you want to say to Joe?
I'd like to say, Joe, call me.
Sure, Rush.
You know what I mean. I'll call, okay? Oh, they're so tired. So,
nice.
So very tired.
Don't been do nice, it. Rush.
Don't do it, Joe.
Rush, he dropped the phone again.
Send me a tongue scraper, please.
What?
Someone send me a tongue scraper.
Oh, we're going to discuss that tomorrow. What do you need a tongue scraper for?
I've got a film on there that is, I can't even identify it. It's yellow, like everything else on my body. Coming out, everything is yellow. Oh, so tired. So tired.
Any luck?
Are you doing news now?
Yeah, we're going to Buzz right now.
Oh, good for you boys. I have to go try to poo again. Wish me luck. This is Rush Limbaugh on the Poo IB.
That is what is that?
The Poo in Broadcasting Network.
Oh, PIB.
Will not poo.
Will not poo.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Rush.
Good luck, buddy.
There he goes.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Well,
me.
He made it up.
We kid because we care.
You're that's right. And here he is now, Guy Birdley. Buzz, what is your lead story tonight?
Today, the answer is Mount Arnold. But the question is not, what does Maria do twice a week?
Hey.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. That was very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to help you.
Right. Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
They have very nice teeth. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Time for Buzz's News. Buzz brought to you by Vermax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed clinically tested Vermax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Vermax, 1-888 try VMAX. Let me get a quick plug in for this. That all this week, giving away tickets to go to Baltimore's first Mariner Arena for a night of supercharged excitement with WWE No Mercy.
Yeah, brother.
Live Sunday, Comcast, Cox Cable pay-per-view. If you win the tickets to go to WWE in Baltimore on,
what is that, Sunday? Is that what I said? I don't know.
This weekend. Whatever, hold on. A pair of tickets to go to Baltimore's first Mariner. Well, it doesn't say when.
Soon.
Oh, no, live this Sunday.
Oh, well.
On Comcast, there it was.
What was the place again? First Mariner?
First Mariner Arena in Baltimore. Never heard of it, but, you know, it's probably one of those joints that changes names all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it used to be...
Would that be the Baltimore Convention Center?
It used to be Bank of America, then it was SunTrust, now it's goddamn Wachovia.
I think it may have been the Pier 6 Pavilion.
And we're giving away, thanks, Charles.
Thank you, Charlie.
A meet and greet with WWE Superstar.
I like the mysticism.
So that's on tomorrow. We'll be doing it all week as well. Just ahead of Buzz, I went to RushLimbaugh.com.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's there?
And Rush 24/7 email. Emails of support pour in to the EIB network.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And then it has some links, I guess, to a couple of... you'd like to think major newspapers.
Right.
And here's one from, the second one they have is from the Sierra Times.
Yep.
Not exactly sure where it is.
Where would this Sierra Times be?
Let me see. And here's, when I was talking about my level of discomfort with Rush Limbaugh, this is the type of reporting that's even out of his hands that is just pissing me off about this whole thing.
Right.
Liberals are dancing in the streets now that Rush has been outed as a prescription drug abuser who kept it from the world as long as no one was asking him about it, but who confessed as soon as the world started asking and announced it himself to the world while he was announcing his determination to do something about
liberals,
it.
Liberals, they bring that in. Jesus.
To me, this is simply Rush Limbaugh continuing to tell the truth and should not affect his ability to out liberals who needed outing at the time.
Oh.
Rush is the reason I'm in the business I'm in because he showed me the ambivalence I saw a year ago about politics. Blah, 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 blah.
That's the proper, I mean, that's just...
I'm not addictable to anything but maybe coffee. I wish him luck. He's going to need it.
Wow.
And then you go to...
liberals may be dancing, but he didn't come out as soon as the charges were made.
No.
Waited a couple of weeks.
Limbaugh, hometown, vows to support Rusty.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so cute.
Who knew? hold on. Here you go. If Rush admitted a problem, it's a first step. It's when you keep lying about it that you get in deep and lose respect. Willie Seagraves, who cut hair while Rush Limbaugh shined shoes, said he favors Democrats and Rush wouldn't care. But I think we all agree he should kick this habit and get his life together.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he does. Hold on. Rusty.
God. Is that his real name, Rusty?
No, that's what they call him.
Rusty Limbaugh.
People that are Rush fans are with him no matter what, and that goes double here. Makes no difference whether you're a fan of Rush or not. This could happen to anybody, says Martha Cox.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Martha, first off, nice name. I don't think so, to this level. I don't think the average person...
No, the average person, strictly on a financial level, probably would have a little trouble with this.
Couldn't afford it. And just one last thing. And this is a joke that I promise will go nowhere.
Okay.
Maybe one of you will laugh at this. And I mean one of you in this room. I think nobody listening will laugh.
Mm-hmm.
We have on the phone from Sacramento a guy named John. And it says on the screen he's a former junkie. John, are you a former junkie?
Actually, I'm a former addict.
Okay.
But it says on the screen former junkie.
Yeah, painkiller addict.
Tell EB. I see I effed it up. I was going to say tell EB we said hi.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
A former junkie.
I told you it was worth it.
Okay.
Former. See, at least when I know I'm going to do
something. No, wait. That was not your fault, though.
The guy didn't help because
he didn't want to really be called a junkie. He wanted to be called a former addict.
Right.
He didn't like the word junkie.
But it said former junkie on the...
The guy killed you, actually. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with that joke.
That would have been a little bit money.
Yeah.
Would have been a silly, bazilly joke.
Money.
Anyway. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, the tributes to Arnold just keep pouring in. In the Russian Republic of Georgia, they'd like to name a mountain after the movie Muscle Man turned politician. There's a catch. They want Arnold to visit there first. And
Mount Doofus.
His people say he's just too busy now preparing to run California. And while A&E puts together a made-for-cable movie about Arnold's ambitions, a humorist is putting out a photo diary of Arnie's first 100 days in office.
That's good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm laughing. Mm-hmm.
Quoting the author, if just half the women Arnold groped buy this book, it'll be bigger than Harry Potter.
Okay.
Buzzes, believe it or don't. Monkeys can now control machines with their brains.
Were you speaking of yourself in third person?
Yeah, but only because it's the title of a feature. New feature we've added called Buzz's Believe It or Don't.
How often will we be hearing this new feature?
Whenever earth-shattering scientific breakthroughs like this appear. Monkeys can now control machines with their brains. Quoting one scientist, it's a major advance. Scientists in North Carolina have built a brain that enables monkeys to control a robotic arm with their thoughts. What does this mean to you? Well,
new management at Infinity Broadcasting.
Good answer. It means that someday technology could allow you to operate almost anything just by thinking about it without wires.
Hey, neato.
This monkey experiment marks the first time that mental intentions have been harnessed to move a mechanical object. It's been done with computer screens, but never with a machine.
See, now Rush Limbaugh would have gotten into no trouble. I'm thinking of 300 baby blues.
And then,
and then somewhere a monkey goes out.
Take the blues with the robotic arm, put in mouth.
Oh,
sweet right. relief.
And Buzz?
Yes?
The name of this feature was?
Buzz's Believe It or Don't.
When do we vote if we believe it or we don't?
At any time. You may vote at any time.
I believe it.
I'm waiting until the end.
Yeah, you've always shown more judgment that way.
Well, here's the end. The scientists hope to get permission to try this on people next year, and it is true.
I don't know.
Well, now wait a minute. You're saying believe it or don't, and right. Don was not allowed to come in, and then if you'd said it was true, then he should have believed it. Were you on the road to believing it?
I was on the road. I am no longer on the road.
All right.
I'm sorry. I won't do that again.
With no offense to Buzz, I'm a big fan of the segment, which is called
Buzz's Believe It or Don't.
And in the event that you believe me, you say, Buzz, we believe you.
Baby blue. All eyes will be on tonight's Red Sox-Yankees game, the fourth in that best-of-seven American League Championship Series.
Hats off to the hero.
Fans will be watching for trouble, the kind of trouble that got four guys fined Sunday. Pedro Martinez and Manny Ramirez of the Sox and Don Zimmer and Kareem Garcia of the Yankees, who got into a fracas in Game 3. The 72-year-old Zimmer was thrown to the ground in the melee. He's been fined $5,000. Martinez was fined $50,000. On the verge of tears, his voice quivering and his body shaking, Zimmer apologized for his contribution, saying he's embarrassed. The commissioner says further misconduct will be dealt with severely.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, batting for your Boston Red Sox. Oh, no, that's right. He wouldn't bat because it's the American League.
Yeah, that's a big issue, too.
Yeah. Never mind. Never mind, because Pedro Martinez would never bat.
Right.
That's the great thing about being a
bat in the World Series.
In the American League,
if they get to the World Series.
You can throw at a guy all day, get through right at his head, and there's never a chance.
Never retaliation. That's part of the problem.
That's
part of the anger, you know. That they gotta, that's why Zimmer wanted to take a...
You just said it.
What?
Part of the problem. Part of the problem with the American League. This is an argument that we've had back when I was a baseball fan that we had for years about which league was better, the National League or the American League.
Well, the American League is far superior.
The National League is a much better league.
And that type of thing.
But the National League is a hustling league. Pitchers have to...
You know what this is, ladies and gentlemen?
Come on.
The Cubs are getting close.
He's sliding back.
We haven't had this argument since the strike.
I'm humoring you.
Yeah.
I'm humoring you because your guy beat up the old guy.
You're playing with me, and he didn't beat him up.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's a
Don't edit out the part about Arista. Beat him up.
We saved him in his own little way.
Yeah. Heroic.
Saved on
him from himself.
Actually, if you look back, I want you to go back
when I called Pedro Martinez a hero before.
Go back at you were being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, Buzz. Yeah. You know, if you look closely, and I want you to review that videotape once again. He practically laid him down on the soft grass.
You know, nobody ever called.
After cradling him. After cradling him. Yes.
Nobody ever called to verify what I think. What I saw on ESPN, I stand by it.
You mean what you made up in your mind?
No, I didn't make this up. They have the tape of Pedro looking at Don Zimmer, and he says, come on. And with his hands, he's giving, like, come on. He's doing the thing with his hands. Yeah. He's motioning.
He gently nestled Don Zimmer's head in between his hands. And he practically made a bed for him on the ground when he fell.
Now, do we vote if we believe this story?
No, that just
this
wasn't.
Is Mike O'Mara's Believe It or Don't.
The tape I saw was a different angle where Pedro actually just said, "Don, are you tired? Would you like to have a seat?"
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for paying attention.
That's the tape I saw.
Thank you. Thank you for paying attention to this.
I believe it.
I mean, danger into dangerous.
And I'd also like to say that my opinion of this is in no way clouded by the fact that I'm a fan.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Don, I just saw that on ESPN, and Pedro did not raise his hands up.
There's something wonderful about closure.
I'll wait for more than one call on this, because I
did
see...
Something wonderful about closure.
I did see... And now, by the let me just say... Hold on there, my cackling Red Sox friend. I'm sure that what you're seeing now is an edited... cackle, cackle. It's an edited down version.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm sure it was doctored. I'm sure the tape was doctored.
You can doctor tapes. You can doctor tapes. Now, I saw it, and he's looking at Zimmer, and he makes the motion with his hands. Now, if like 10 more guys call up and say, what your guy is saying here, I'll give up the point. But I'm telling you, I saw it.
He didn't do that.
I saw him with his hands go, come on.
But his hands were more down.
He was ready to protect himself against Zimmer.
That's why his hands were
Did anybody see him make the motion with his hands?
That come on motion.
Well, you don't accept that answer from that clear-thinking caller.
From that guy, no. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I saw it on Sports Center, too. And Pedro did actually say, come on, bring it, like that. He
said
was doing the motion.
We're not disputing
it.
Did he do the motion?
He used his hand, and he said, what, bring it, like that.
Yeah, now, I don't think he said come on, but he said what? But I don't think he was using his hands.
Hold on, test this guy. Did you with his hands? Was he doing the come on thing?
Yes.
No.
Now you
don't know what you're talking about.
Now
you changed
sudden,
your story twice, you bastard.
Badgering the witness.
Now all of a sudden the barometer is skewed. It was fine before. Now it's not fine.
Well, when you
shocker,
when you have my guy called, and then your
all right,
guy
well,
called.
Let's take another one. Then. Hello, Don and Mike.
I don't. There's no need to take any more after my guy called in.
Hello.
Right. None of these people won't convince.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I actually listened to ESPN Radio earlier today.
Care about
disqualified.
That. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, Martinez did not raise his hand.
Right.
Zimmer was going towards.
Hold on.
Right.
Did you see him make the come on move?
No, he did not.
He did not.
That's two. That's two for you and one for me. Hello, Don and Mike show. I know what I saw. Hello.
What the hell is a 72-year-old fat man running after a 30-year-old for anyway?
They'll kick his ass. Buzz. Buzz is medicated tonight.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
Okay. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it, and I have to admit, I am a daunted Yankee hater.
No, come on. Just
get
did
to
he,
it.
Did he do the come on thing with his hands or not?
He did.
No. Blind man calling.
Honest man calling.
I saw him do it, and even if he didn't, I'm sorry. If Pedro can...
You know what? I'm sorry. This is not the forum to have this discussion. I'm going to have to...
I feel vindicated.
I'm going to have to TiVo, I'm going to have to tape, I'm going to have to bring it, I'm going to have to show it to you myself.
Well, they'll show it a million times tonight.
Yeah, you know...
Leading into the game tonight,
you're right.
Call me and let me, you know, and then I'll... You know, if I see something different, I'll go along with it.
I'll
come back in today and I will say... tomorrow and I will say... If I see him go like this with his hands, right. I will come back in tomorrow and I will lie like a dog. This is personal for me.
Yeah, I understand. Well,
I feel for that ground.
Call me if this condition worsens, Mr. Zimmer.
We assume they've been washed. More of Monica Lewinsky's clothing is up for auction.
Covered with white pee, Buzz.
No.
Clothing and other items, including autographed photos of Bill Clinton. The seller hopes people will take...
Dumb C word.
The seller, not Monica, but the seller, hopes that people will take all of this off her hands for $75,000 in the name of history. The seller is the ex-wife of Lewinsky's high school drama teacher. Yes, she did him too.
See?
Now the ex is selling the photos and the clothing, including a black negligee.
See?
Quoting the auctioneer, this stuff represents the greatest presidential scandal in history, in my mind, bigger than Watergate.
What's that smell?
Oh, see? That's what it is. The smell of... I love it, Robert Duvall. I love the smell of...
See?
In the morning.
Okay, stand by, Buzz.
All right.
For action. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Occasional A-Hole, Don and Mike.
Yeah, just every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Wait, hold on a second. I hear about a car dealership.
Here we go. Constant contest. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, howdy. Who's this?
Name is Don. I'm not sure if you're past it yet. I apologize if you are. I was calling in. I can be as quick as you want about
Don, hold on
Saturday.
Just a second. Hold on.
Right.
Constant contest winner here. You've won tickets to see Aerosmith and Kiss.
Oh, my goodness.
Two Rock Legends, One Stage, One Night, MCI Center, Thursday, November 20th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. See, the beauty of Constant Contest is you will have had something you wanted to say already because your line was ringing.
Mm-hmm.
What did you call to say?
First off, Color Me Happy. Those are two of my favorite bands.
Very good.
Anyways.
Color Me Bored. Why did you call?
On Saturday. This is the baseball business.
Yeah, get to the point.
Number one, you do not see Pedro's hand. You can't see him. The picture's cut up at his elbows. You can see him clearly.
Color me sad I gave you this.
WJFK.
Color me mind changed. Like man.
I am not making that up. No matter
that is
what
also,
that
I know. Of all the calls we've gotten about that, that's the one I think that is legit. Because it doesn't even show his hands.
Mm.
The shot that I saw, and I saw it replayed, he's absolutely right. You don't see Pedro's hands. That's the point.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't argue the point to death
if I hadn't
seen it.
I think maybe he might have gone, what? Or come on? That might have happened.
I saw his hand.
There's hundreds of cameras, though. I mean, mm-hmm. That one shot, I mean, there could be a shot of it. And especially if it was on ESPN,
it might not be
the Fox feed. It might be another.
Yeah, they might have actually shown us, the all the way down to like his cleats when he wasn't using his hands.
Listen, I'm telling you, he did like. If I get a tape of it,
come on.
If
Don
I get a tape
Zimmer.
Of it, what are you going to do?
Come on, what?
If I get a tape of Pedro Martinez going like this with his hands, going like, come on, will you at least give in?
No.
Why? I would. Well, now what?
You expect me to be rational about this?
Okay, never mind.
This is the whole thing with
the guy gets the thing.
I've been doing this since February.
The guy gets the tickets. Color Mike happy.
Yeah.
Red Sox are playing tonight.
Come on, Buzz.
All right, here we go. J-Lo's not the only one disappointed the wedding was canceled.
Mike just did the thing to come on.
Yeah. Dress designer Vera Wang is said to be furious.
Hey, nice Wang.
MSNBC reports that Vera ran her staff ragged trying to get J-Lo's dress made for the wedding. Quoting a source.
Get me Wang.
Wang.
Quoting a source, and I'll interpret here.
Did you see Padro? Did you see Padro Wang?
Padro Wang.
Only touched him with his wang.
Quoting a source, the gown's worth at least $15,000, but Jennifer insisted she get it free. The idea was publicity from the wedding would more than pay for the cost. Now, no wedding, no publicity. No official comment from the dresser or the dressee.
You know what?
I'm attacking a big white bitch.
You know how I feel about that? Hey, man. Do you think she'll be hurting Vera Wang, missing out on that money?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
Could be the end of the empire.
Wang.
Bang.
Hey, Wang. Hey, come here, Wang.
Russell Crowe once made headlines by roughing up the head of a British awards show. Now he wants to sing at one of those shows. The physically and musically inclined actor has been putting out feelers about having his band, 30-odd foot of grunts, perform at the British equivalent of the Grammys this year.
What?
I was looking at Rob. Rob and I were trying to rename my band,
that's cumbersome.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, no,
I thought I came up with one last week. You liked it. We lost
Dead Hamster.
Dead Hamster.
Yeah, Dead Hamster.
The hamster's dead.
Yeah, the hamster's dead. No, I thought it was Dead Hamster, and that didn't go.
Didn't go over with the band.
I'm looking for another syllable word.
Diaz.
Rob wants Diaz.
How about Zimmer?
I was thinking about that.
Zimmer.
I was thinking about that.
About Zimmer. Hands. Yeah. Come on. That's it. Should be the name of the band. Come on.
Right? The Sure Bet Band.
Come on.
The Hero Band.
Well, quoting a source on the Russell Crowe story, he's so desperate for publicity for his band, whose last album didn't exactly tear up the charts. And there's apparently a documentary out now called Russell Crowe's Greatest Fights. Quoting someone who's seen it, Russell fights like a 6-year-old. He specializes in biting and headbutting.
Good for him. I mean, if you're in the fight, fight to win.
Absolutely.
A former Miss America has killed someone and will probably not be charged with any crime.
Her name is Rush Limbaugh.
Heather French Henry, Miss America 2000, says she did not see the 43-year-old woman on a bicycle. The woman was crossing a street outside a crosswalk through a red light and was not wearing a helmet. Heather says she could not see the woman because the Kentucky sun was in her eyes. Although no charges were filed, the investigation continues. Heather is said to be extremely upset.
Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know why we're laughing.
I understand.
We don't just...
We just play a silly sound effect and start laughing.
Look, the story was... What was the story?
Miss America.
Miss America killed somebody.
Yeah.
totally inappropriate music.
Twin boys.
Because I'm proud to be an American.
Mm-hmm.
At least I know I'm free. Pedro Martinez.
Right there. Twin boys who've been joined at the head since birth are still with us after a 34-hour separation surgery.
This is Maury Povich. Yeah. Can I have them on my show?
Get them to me.
Maybe soon, Maury. The 2-year-olds from Egypt are said to have had a good night resting in a drug-induced coma at a Texas hospital.
That's what Russia's doing, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
He wishes.
They'll be kept in that coma for at least 4 days to keep down the brain swelling. It was not the most complicated separation surgery ever, but they are not in the clear.
Where is this?
This is in Dallas.
Yeah, but the boys
are from Egypt.
From Egypt.
And they were conjoined at the head.
The Ephraim twins.
They were.
Still cool.
They were quoting a doctor.
Amen.
Quoting a doctor now, very, very stuck together. We knew the brains would be touching, but we thought they'd peel apart relatively easily. They did not. Their condition occurs in about 1 out of every 10 million live births. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do.
To join twin music.
In sports, game 4 of the ACLS tonight has the Yankees in Boston going in with a 2-1 lead in that series.
This is still a conjoint surgery.
Conjoined twin!
League. The Cubs lead that series 3-2. Game 6 is tomorrow in Chicago, and on Monday Night Football, the Rams host the Falcons. Tonight, do not try to steal a guy's penis, even with sorcery. A 28-year-old man accused of that very thing was beaten to death in the West African country of Zambia Friday. ten people took part in the lynching, according to police. Reports of...
I'm sorry, but this is not funny.
Well, sort of. Reports of penis snatching are not uncommon in that part of the world, with victims claiming the sorcerers simply touched them to make their genitals shrink or disappear. The sorcerers do this, we're told, so they extort cash from their victims in return for the promise of a cure. Police say men in that area are now even afraid to shake hands with each other.
Oh, dear.
Hear me. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. No. Yeah, that's it, Mike.
Oh. I gotta go home and watch My Heroes.
Godspeed, Don Zimmer. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow with the brand new episode. Good day to you, sir. Get well, Buzz.
Thanks. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Oh, don't give me the come on. He did the come on. I'll find it, you.
Pee-wee Herman.
Pee-wee Herman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you ready?
I've got to get Miss America some sunglasses.
Dun, 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 dun.
We're out of our mind.
BM. Peter.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.